That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Missouri Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, Missouri Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. It could be your ticket to Lucky Town. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, not quite as warm, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a high around 80. This evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers with a low in the upper 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, again, another chance for showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74. It's time now for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I started using drugs and alcohol when I was about 12 years old. I was bored and I thought drugs would be exciting. I hung out with like the older crowd and just kind of did it socially at first. By the time I was 15, my whole life turned upside down.
I stopped doing drugs because I was shy. I wanted to fit in. All my friends were using drugs, and it looked like they were having a good time.
I thought using drugs was a good way of dealing with stress.
I was insecure about a lot of things. You know, I was pretty shy. My parents must have told me a million times, don't do drugs, you know, they'll ruin your life. Now I know what they all meant.
People often begin using drugs as a solution to a problem. Eventually, the drug use itself becomes a much greater problem.
I can't quit.
I'm addicted. So are my friends.
I'm losing my family.
I can't stop.
I lost my job. I almost lost my life. I need help.
Call Narcanon Arrowhead today at 1-800-468-6933.
Victims of Hurricane Katrina are attempting to recover from the massive storm. American Red Cross volunteers have been deployed to the hardest hit areas of Katrina's destruction, supplying victims left homeless with critical necessities. By making a financial gift to support relief efforts, the Red Cross can provide shelter, food, counseling, and other assistance to those affected by Hurricane Katrina. The work has just begun. Victims of Hurricane Katrina need your help now. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with Ride Finders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. Ride Finders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service that matches commuters throughout the region who share similar workday commutes so they can contact one another to share the ride in a carpool or vanpool. The ride matching service is provided by Ride Finders free of charge and is available online at ridefinders.org or toll-free at 800-VIP-RIDE. The higher gas prices get, the more savings you'll see. Add more passengers to your carpool and save even more. Call Ride Finders today at 800-VIP-RIDE and ease the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. That's 800-VIP-RIDE.
Invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis
on October the 14th, 15th, and 16th. We black, Hispanic, Native American in unity. We'll change it all.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. Everyone's invited to see Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th. This event is free to the public. The Millions More Movement is peace and unity. United we stand. Divided, we don't stand a chance. The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191. It's Farrakhan Live. You need to be part of the movement. For more information, log on to mmmstlouis.org.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. If you like to get your hands dirty working in the yard, you could get a serious, even fatal disease from the tetanus bacteria in your soil. Maybe you wear gloves to help reduce injuries, but you need a routine shot every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. So get the TD booster shot. If it's been 10, do it again. To learn more, visit the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases at www.nfid.org.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't like George W. Bush.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, help me understand. Please do not beg us for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609, that would be my fax. And of course, if you want a toll-free long-distance me, do that. Do that. What goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. There is a fax that came to the station this morning. It's from an entity that represents issues for conservatives, Republicans. And I have no problem with that. In fact, I wish those on the left would send out as many faxes as we get from those on the other side of the aisle. I wish that were so. But in that fax was something that, I don't know, I believe. Remember at the end of the only Shrek movie that was good, the first one, at the end of the animation, Eddie Murphy's little donkey was jumping around going, I believe, the very end. Well, I believe. I believe that people are going to get full up or close to full up with the nonsense and the unabashedly greedy actions on the part of the right. And this fax to me is evidence that it will come to people, because a lot of Americans, whether they should be or not, and I don't think that they should be, but they are. A lot of Americans only play politics once every 4 years. They only pay attention to politics every 4 years. A lot of Americans don't play politics at all. They just live their lives. There are people out there, and it blows my mind. And it just shows sometimes that you know, you don't always hang around or expose yourself to everything all the time. There are Americans out there that don't vote. And that's just fascinating to me. People that don't vote. But there are millions of Americans out there that don't vote. Millions of Americans that vote every 4 years. And that's it. But politics are not, for most of the people listening to this show, 99.9% of the people listening to this show, you're into politics. It connects with you. You want to know. You may not be out there marching with the sign and wearing a t-shirt out there in the streets, but you want to know. Many, many, many Americans don't. I say that to say that there are, I believe that there is a growing understanding and a growing opinion and a growing worldview about this administration and about conservative Republicans. It's one of those things that seeps into your political conscience, even if you wouldn't define yourself as having a political conscience. It's one of those things that seeps into your understanding without you feeling that you've done anything to lift it up and put it in there. You know, when you keep hearing things over and over again, you start to accept it as so, whether you believe that you do or not. It becomes so. You know, you've heard the word Kleenex for so long, it has become what tissue is. You don't ask for tissue, most people, they ask for Kleenex. It becomes part of your understanding. Q-tip is a brand name. That, I believe, is what is happening, an understanding about the agenda of this administration and the agenda of the conservative right. And all of this, and I'm just saying this as a result of seeing this fax this morning from this place called Accuracy in the Media. It's right there. Accuracy in the Media. And this fax is something that, to me, says everything about where the Republican Party and the Conservative Party is. And what this... I was just stunned. We need money for Katrina, right? Perhaps we're going to need money for Rita as well. We don't have enough money because... Let me see. Katrina's estimate cost are $200 billion. We've spent how much on the war, the occupation of Iraq? $200 billion. We don't have the money unless we cut programs. And here I got a fax from a Republican right-wing entity looking to pay for the cost of Katrina. And here is what this right-wing organization is saying we should do to pay for Katrina. Eliminate $400 million a year that is spent on public broadcasting. Over a 10-year period, the savings could produce $5.6 billion for hurricane victims. ten Republicans, a study committee, has offered a list of proposed spending cuts and to me, this just demonstrates that you're not trying to help anything. All this is about partisan greed, partisan agendas at the expense of all of us. What does public broadcasting have to do with where we are with Katrina? And yet and still, that is where we find ourselves. Running after Elmo, Big Bird, and Ernie. You think this is about finding money? No. This is about seizing an opportunity to get your right-wing, wishless, satisfied. Never mind that you've gotten a whole lot of things on your wish list already. And maybe it's just an insatiable wish list. Maybe it's a wish list made by a 5-year-old that has everything in the world on it and the expectation that they're going to get it. Maybe that's what the Republican Party is about. 5-year-old wish list. I want a tank, I want a pony, I want skates, I want a bike, I want a new backpack, I want some books, I want some Power Rangers. The list goes on and on and on. When you're 5, I understand. A 5-year-old wish list. What I don't understand is a 65-year-old, a 55-year-old, a 45-year-old writing the same kind of wish list and expecting it to be satisfied. The Republicans' first shot out of the box is eliminate PBS to pay for Katrina. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? I'm telling you, it's not being missed in the psyche of the average American. It's not being missed in the psyche of the average American. That doesn't feel like right. That feels like wrong. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Oh, we have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Morning, St. Louis, 32 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morgan with Sowers Traffic and Weather. Sowers Traffic is sponsored by GM with employee discounts. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed to the end of the month due to maintenance work. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway. There's work on that exit and the ramp is closed. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around. Northbound 55 between Merrimack Bottom and Holly Hills. No problems in report. Eastbound 44 between Antire and 270. Everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way into Big Bend. No problems there. Eastbound 70 at 370 in Earth City Expressway. Everything looks good. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall Road. No problems to report there as well. Westbound 270 from Lilac to Washington Elizabeth. Everything looks good. Westbound 255 from Telegraph to Lime Ferry, nothing to report there. Eastbound 70 between Winsville Parkway and Route Z, there's road construction. The right lane is closed as crews are late in picking up the work. There's a bit of a short backup. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Salisbury Street, traffic is heavier than normal, possibly due to the overnight road work running late. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge looks good. Westbound 64 before the 5570 split, everything's on the move. And westbound Kingbridge traffic, everything is moving well this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the GM Employee Discount. GM Employee Discount is retiring. You pay what we pay, but only until Friday at participating dealers only. Take delivery by Friday, September the 30th. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, not quite as warm, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high around 80. This evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight, 30% chance of showers, low in the upper 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy skies, high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy, once again, another chance for showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots, he
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues!
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on, I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
Boy and Girl Scouts can learn about trees at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles, on Saturday, September 24th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll look at a tree's growth rings and learn to identify local trees. Weeblows, Brownies, and Junior Girl Scouts can meet requirements for their badges at this session. No reservations are required. News to Scouts from Radio Free St. Louis.
Capital Sports and Entertainment.
Hi, Lance Armstrong, please.
We represent him, but he doesn't live here.
Okay, take a memo. Lance, I was thinking about Jill. I thought to Jill is a skill, and if so, nobody's better than you. You've won the tour, each time looking very chill, and that made a whole bunch of European guys in Lycra pretty mad. I got no problem with that.
Okay.
Your resting heart rate is 33 beats a minute. Are you clinically dead or clinically chill? I think the latter.
Okay.
Lance, you are the definition of chill. For you, an ice-cold Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coca-Cola taste and nothing to get in the way of your chill.
Okay.
Okay, would you read that back to me, please?
You know what? I got it.
I just want to make sure. Coca-Cola Zero. Everybody, chill.
Looks like Coke, tastes like Coke, but it's not Coke. It's Coke Zero. The real Coca-Cola taste you love? Zero calories. Everybody, chill.
The Millions More Movement, St. Louis Local Organizing Committee, invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis
on October the 14th, 15th, and 16th. He's black, Hispanic, Native American. In unity, we'll change it all.
The commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. Everyone's invited to see Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th. This event is free to the public. The Millions More Movement is peace and unity. United we stand. Divided, we don't stand a chance. The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191. It's Farrakhan live. You need to be part of the movement. For more information, log on to mmmstlouis.org.
Congratulations. You found Radio Free St. Louis at AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. And if you want to toll-free, long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get to me. This is a story out of the Canadian press. George W. Bush. Oh, well, let me read you the headline. Public pressure mounts for Bush to curtail the Iraqi war after the Katrina disaster. George W. Bush says that he can manage war in Iraq and still pay for the huge bill rebuilding hurricane-lashed Gulf Coast. Most Americans don't agree with him. And here's the other piece of it. This is the frustrating part of this battle to tell the truth. For the first time, Bush is facing a serious revolt in his own party over how to pay for the hurricane effort. So the heavy lifting is going to come from the right to get him out. Republicans already edgy about the $200 billion U.S. price tag to clean up after Katrina were bracing for more damage as the Hurricane Rita hurtled towards Texas. For now, Republicans are split on whether to cut domestic programs or add billions more to the whopping $333 billion U.S. deficit. Options that Americans clearly aren't favoring in the opinion polls. And with congressional elections, don't forget, they're next year. Congressional elections are next year. Analysts say legislators are increasingly feeling the heat from voters who tell pollsters the Iraqi war was a mistake and Bush is spending too much money there. If the tide of public opinion doesn't budge, Bush may not be able to withstand an abrupt change of priorities. That's what a politics professor at George Washington University says. A new Gallup poll on Wednesday reported a record high in the percentage of Americans favoring a reduction of U.S. troops in Iraq, 63% saying some or all of them should come home. 54% of Americans choose less spending over Iraq as a means for paying for Katrina. Public approval of Bush's handling of Iraq tumbled 8 points last week to 32%. 32%. Two-thirds of people in an Associated Press survey said Bush was spending too much money on the war. A New York Times survey said that 8 in 10 Americans are concerned about the $5 billion that the U.S. has spent each month in Iraq. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Steve.
My battery's dying, so I'll make this short. Yesterday, Louis Farrakhan's name came up quite a few times on different programs,
mm-hmm.
talking about how the levees down in Louisiana were sabotaged.
Uh-huh.
I noticed how many were calling up talking about what a nut Louis Farrakhan was and the people that would believe something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what if he was right?
Well, wait a minute. What precludes that from being a possibility? What has this nation done that the Gulf of Tonkin, you know, I mean, think of all of the things that this government has lied about. 9/11? 9/11? Why would we think that this is something that couldn't be possible?
Well, you know, on the flip side of that, what sounds more ridiculous, that this government would do something like that, or there were weapons of mass destruction and nuclear threat coming from Saddam Hussein?
There you go.
You know, what's more credible?
There you go.
And I thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend. 454-0400 is my phone number. And that's one of the reasons why you need to go hear the minister speak this weekend. You need to go hear him speak. Because not only is this a moment out of history that you're going to hear him speak after the Katrina issue to be able to say that you were there when you heard that conversation, but you're going to hear things that you won't hear anyplace else. And think about it. He will also be speaking after Rita hits. Take an opportunity. Things like this don't. He could be in San Francisco. He could be in New York. He could be any other place in the world. And he is going to be here in St. Louis to deliver this address. And you really need to take time out of your day, take your children to go listen to Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's free. And it is an incredible opportunity to hear the truth. And to hear what this man who has experienced so much, what his take is on this. And also information that you're not going to hear anyplace else. You think that there was a sabotage on this? Of course there was. Of course you could at least consider the possibility of it. Think about the cleanup of 9/11. That they took all the stuff away before you could look at it. Think about that. And think about how many Americans died in that. This couldn't be sabotage. Why? Tell me why. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'll be back.
I'm with you. I am far away. And nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. Silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel inside. Nothing's real, but all is possible. If God is on my side, when I'm with you, I'm in the light. But I cannot be found. Is that the one I'm standing in? The place called high ground.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. In an effort to overcome a poor image, the head of the CIA announced yesterday the agency will do more of its own spying in countries where it's been utilizing foreign intelligence operatives. Porter Goss made that revelation yesterday at the agency's headquarters in Langley, Virginia. The policy will also give field agents more authority, set up operations in more countries, and permit more foreign-born spies to work in its ranks. Goss says the CIA will get into many more places people will not even think about. And Dateline Washington, remember the trouble Martha Stewart got into for selling stock in a failing company? Now there's word that Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist dumped all the stock in his family's hospital corporation just 2 weeks before a report was released that showed earnings had taken a nosedive. He had a large ownership of shares in Hospital Corporation of America, which is the largest for-profit hospital chain in the country. On June 13th, he gave the order to sell his shares and those of his wife and children. The estimated value of his stocks was somewhere between $7 and $35 million. Frist had endured criticism for acting on legislation dealing with the medical care industry while having a personal stake in it. The HCA Corporation has been a top donor to the senator's campaigns, giving nearly $85,000 over the last 6 years. Frist's father started the company, and his brother is a director and leading stockholder. The Frist family is worth over $1 billion, according to Forbes magazine.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
If you're single, I'd like you to try something. Find three friends or family members and ask them about eHarmony.com. Chances are, you or they know someone that has fallen in love on eHarmony. You might even know one of the thousands that has been married as a result of being matched on eHarmony.
I had some friends who had experienced it, and so I thought, why not give it a shot?
I had a friend of mine say, why don't you give eHarmony a try?
My younger son said, come on, Mom, just try it. What do you have to lose?
Friends and family can be powerful allies when it comes to helping you find the love of your life. So if you're single and curious about eHarmony, ask a friend about us. Or better yet, log on to eHarmony and see for yourself why eHarmony has become the number one relationship site. Do it today and you'll get your $40 personality profile absolutely free. eHarmony.com.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. It's the Millions More Movement.
Saturday, October 15th, 2005, in Washington, D.C.
St. Louis, you can get involved today.
The local organizing committee meetings are every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at 1408 Kings Highway, Suite 215. To register or book your travel for the Millions More Movement, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191 or online at mmmstlouis.org. It's the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Millions More Movement.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room.
Ooh, I'm just sitting here. Waiting. Come on home. That's right, turn the radio on, folks. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Was a 17th Street canal levee breached on purpose? There are stories out there, folks. There are stories out there that it was. Long distance. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
Fine.
I saw last night, finally, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, they showed on CNN how 8 police officers in the New Orleans area took this hotel room, and they actually stole a generator, according to the hotel manager, from a hospital close by. And they were going out looting for the first 3 or 4 days. And, you know, I thought it was kind of strange that they would wait till 2 o'clock in the morning to show this. And I've been watching all morning, and no follow-up stories on it or anything. Now, you're going to tell me that in a crisis like they were having, you're going to steal a generator?
Well, and I think that the stories of looting were correct. The problem is that the camera was faced on people that were running down the street with bread in their hands, running down the street with groceries in their hand, or even a TV in their hand. That's not looting.
That is not looting compared to somebody out there getting money, getting jewelry, committing all kinds of calculated actions for crimes. I'm not going to look at the people that are in the midst of running for their lives and not knowing if they're going to be alive the next day the same way I'm going to look at people that went there for the sole purpose, went to Louisiana for the sole purpose of stealing.
How can you justify police officers taking a generator from a hospital and carrying it over to a hotel while they held up on the 10th floor of a hotel room drinking beer?
Well, you can't. You can't. Thanks for your call, Prince. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Car phone.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
All righty. One of the previous callers mentioned, and you also did, about the breach of the 17th Street Canal. And I've always liked to direct some of this to our fair-skinned friends here in St. Louis. But for those of you that don't remember, remember there was a gentleman right here in 1993 that was convicted of causing a catastrophe. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the plausibility is certainly there.
Absolutely.
Things can certainly happen when, and I'm not saying it was any government involvement. All I'm saying is that it's certainly possible that somebody in their zeal to protect their property ruined another person's stuff. Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Minister Farrakhan is going to be here. Doors open at 5:30 on Sunday at the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th Street. I believe it starts about 7 o'clock, but the doors open at 5:30 at the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th Street. Be there. One of the things that leads people to this, at least raising the question, or some people to believing that it happened, that it's not just one incident regarding these levees. There are some people that are saying that it now appears that a sophisticated plan was implemented that used the cover of a hurricane to destroy and then take over the city of New Orleans. Among the telling anomalies that show that there was something terribly afoot is a gun battle that killed five that occurred at the breach levee between New Orleans police and what have now been identified as U.S. agents. An Associated Press report, which has now disappeared, stated that at least five USA Defense Department personnel were shot dead by the New Orleans police in the proximity of the breach levee. A spokesperson for the Army Corps of Engineers later said that those killed were federal contractors on their way to repair a canal. The quote-unquote contractors were on their way to launch barges into Lake Pontchartrain in an effort to fix the 17th Street Canal, according to the Army Corps of Engineers. Deputy Police Chief Riley later reported that his police had shot eight suspicious people near the breached levee, killing five or six. Who were these military agents that were killed by the police near the 17th Street breached levee? What were they doing there? Why did the police find it necessary to shoot and kill five or six of them? No one is saying anything, and it appears that the news story has now been swept under the rug. Another telling incident, according to the writer of at least this report, points to the nefarious plan. That's what Mayor Ray Nagin said at the height of the crisis. He said publicly, "I fear the CIA may come and take me out." He said it twice. He told a reporter for the Associated Press, "If the CIA slips me something and next week you don't see me, you all will know what happened." Why does the mayor of New Orleans fear the CIA? He also complained vociferously that the Louisiana National Guard Black Hawk helicopters were being stopped from dropping sandbags to plug the levee.
Oh, we have much, much, much to talk about. Carl.
Yes, how you doing on this great day?
Outstanding. Just a few minutes here. Talk to me.
Yes, I see that many of those have a problem of understanding the real truth of matters of hand that goes on. It's because they are lacking the trueness of themselves, of their God. That's why they can't see through the darkness of everything that goes on.
All right.
So, all right. Thanks
for your call. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran.
Ms. Brown, when you play that song, Like a Flower Waiting to Bloom, I wanted to get in right behind it to let you know that you're that flower and you have already bloomed, and you're that light bulb in the dark room. I heard what you were just speaking about, the five men being shot. At first, when they first mentioned it, doing the breakthrough and everything of the waters, I was thinking that it was some of the people that they were calling refugees.
Mm.
Now, the light has been thrown on them, Miss Brown. I think they want to get rid of black folks from New Orleans. They're not going to bring them back to work. And I think that the government wants to take over and everything. And
okay, and I got to let that be the last word. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Liz Brown, wake up call. Be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Out again.
He called into KTRH Radio in Houston. There's late word of a bus fire on I-45 southeast of Dallas, believed to be carrying elderly evacuees. At least one person, we're told, was killed, 12 hurt. Three people died trying to flee the storm in Fort Bend County of heat exhaustion and carbon monoxide poisoning. ABC's Tony Perkins tells us.
It still looks like this storm is going to be striking somewhere between Galveston and Lake Charles, Louisiana, maybe right around Port Arthur. This would happen early tomorrow morning, and then it will probably stall out and bring up to 20 inches or more of rain to portions of eastern Texas, western Louisiana, and farther to the north.
It's a Category 4 storm, packing winds of 140 miles an hour, but some people are staying put.
Bring it on. Sally Goldston was raised in Gulfport, Mississippi. She knows hurricanes and is prepared for this one.
I have my peanut butter and my cereal bars and my dog's food.
Ms. Goldston told me two bathtubs have been filled with water and a large windowless pantry prepared in her Houston home where she and two dogs will ride out the storm.
Everything is secure in my pantry. Ground zero.
Vic Ratner, ABC News, Houston.
Al Gore was critical of the slow government response after Hurricane Katrina. There have been questions about whether the former vice president might make another run for the White House, but his wife Tipper says no.
We continue to care about politics and to care about our country, of course, and we always will. But he has no plans to run in 08.
Warren Beatty hasn't said he's running for governor of California, but he did say Arnold Schwarzenegger is running the state by show and spin and photo op. This is ABC News.
No prescription drug coverage? Now there's help. Introducing the Merck Prescription Discount Program. You may be eligible for discounts of 15 to 40% on Merck drugs regardless of age or income. Call 1-800-50-MERCK to enroll. It's free to join and there are no membership costs. The new Merck Prescription Discount Program. It's one more way Merck puts patients first. Call 1-800-50-MERCK.
This Walmart opening has made a difference to a lot of people because this was a community that did need jobs.
When you lose your job, you're lost.
Walmart provided 450 jobs.
I think we really changed some lives when we opened this store.
And I'm glad to see that it happened here in Gastonia.
Now that we've built this place from the ground up, it's much closer to our hearts.
It gives us a real good sense of the future. Walmart will be there.
This is the store we needed as much as it needed us.
He kissed his son goodbye before heading off to bomb a crowded London subway. The widow of a London bomber has been talking to the Sun newspaper. More from ABC's Linda Albin in London.
The widow of one of the 7-7 suicide bombers says her husband's mind was poisoned at radical mosques. Samantha Luthwaite, a convert to Islam and daughter of a British soldier, is pictured on the front page of the Sun, cradling her newborn daughter by Jermaine Lindsay, whose bomb on a tube train near King's Cross killed 26 innocent people. Samantha, 21, said she never suspected her husband could be capable of doing what he did. Dressed in an Arab abaya, the emotional mother of two said she totally abhorred the bombings and said someday she'd have to tell her kids the truth about their dad. bad. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
A light show in the night sky over California and Arizona. A rainbow of colors came from a rocket carrying a military research satellite launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base. Streak will stay in orbit for a year. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, four suspects are in custody in connection with a string of church burglaries in Jefferson County. Police yesterday arrested two men and two women, all from Bon Terre. The four are believed to have broken into several churches since early August, stealing up to $3,000 in cash. Their names are being withheld pending charges. The city of Manchester could soon be in the throes of an eminent domain debate. Pace Properties Incorporated wants over $29 million in tax increment financing to build a 70-acre shopping center at Manchester Road and Highway 141. Area homeowners say they're willing to sell their land, but local business owners disagree. Manchester's Aldermanic Board will determine whether to approve the $131.5 million project and the requested tax increment financing. The alderman will also decide whether eminent domain can be used for the private development. St. Louis continues to build on its reputation as a top sports city. The NCAA yesterday announced that the 2008 and 2009 wrestling championships will be held at the Savas Center. The championships will be co-hosted by the Missouri Tigers and the St. Louis Sports Commission. St. Louis remains the only city to host the event in back-to-back years, previously hosting in 2000, 2004, and 2005, and setting the all-time total attendance record last year. With the announcement, St. Louis will now be home to five wrestling championships this decade and nine NCAA championships overall. September is National Preparedness Month in Missouri, and health officials are urging parents to prepare their children to eat healthy. Donna Merlee, a spokesperson for the Department of Health and Senior Services, says parents need to make sure their kids eat five servings of fruits and vegetables each day.
We are encouraging parents to model those appropriate behaviors for their children, to consume adequate amounts of fruits and vegetables, a variety of the different fruits and vegetables, so that a wide range of nutrients can be consumed.
Merlee says it's important for people to eat five servings of fruit and vegetables each day because they provide the nutrients needed for good health. Finally this hour, Chris Carpenter will be on the hill for the Cardinals tonight when they begin a weekend series in Milwaukee against the Brewers. Carpenter has won his last 13 decisions and has not been defeated since June 8th. The Cy Young candidate is 21-4 this season with a 2.42 ERA, including a perfect 12-0 mark on the road. 17-game winner Chris Capuano starts for the Brewers, having won three of his last four starts. The left-hander is 2-0 against the Cards this season and is 17-10 overall with a 3.64 ERA. Game time is 7:05. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Barnes Jewish Hospital. Barnes Jewish Hospital, offering second opinions on any heart procedure or lung surgery. Call 314-TOP-DOCS. Are you connected? That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Missouri Lottery. Powerball. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Illinois Bank. There's a disabled vehicle, and in the traffic lane, traffic jams all the way back to 5570. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed till the end of the month due to maintenance work. Westbound 70 at 94, there's road construction. The left lane is closed. Westbound 44 at the Pacific Viaduct, there's road construction. The left lane is closed until 8 a.m. Expect a brief slowdown. Northbound 55 between Union and Arsenal, no problems to report this hour. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and Geyer, look for no problems there. Eastbound 40 slows from Maryville Center all the way to Mason. Eastbound 70 at Zumbel and 270, look for normal traffic this hour. Northbound 270 from Gravois to 44, look for heavy volume. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, slow traffic in the right lane, and then it slows from New Florissant all the way to 170. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55, expect normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh, expect heavy volume as well. Westbound 5570 between 203 and Exchange, heavy traffic due to an early accident has been cleared. Then it slows approaching Route 3 all the way to the Poplar Street Bridge. And westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got slow traffic too. 94 at Heritage Landing, there's a report of an accident, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Missouri Lottery Powerball. With jackpots starting at $15 million, the Missouri Lottery's Powerball is bigger and happens more often than ever before. Could be your ticket to Lucky Town. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, not quite as warm, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm. The high should be around 80 this evening. Mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low should be in the upper 60s. Saturday during the day, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, 30% chance of showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74 as well under overcast skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
The Millions More Movement, St. Louis Local Organizing Committee, invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis.
On October the 14th, 15th, and 16th, he's black, Hispanic, Native American. In unity, we'll change it all.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. Everyone's invited to see Farrakhan live. Sunday, September 25th. This event is free to the public. The Millions More Movement is peace and unity. United we stand. Divided, we don't stand a chance. The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191. Or toll free, 866-361-9191. It's Farrakhan Live. You need to be part of the movement. For more information, log on to mmmstlouis.org.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Come brother, help me understand.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
progress is healing the wound, but to know that the low man,
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop listening.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome to Looking Black. Our number here is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget we are podcast. We are archived at whiterosesociety.org. Every single show, every single hour of every show is right there waiting for you at whiterosesociety.org. Also, lizbrown.com. Also, revolution at lizbrown.com. Also, we are internet. We're on the internet, World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net from Xenia to Zimbabwe. We are there today, of course. It's 7 o'clock, a little after 7. And it's Friday. And that means that it's time for Looking Black. And our guest this morning, our guest journalist this morning, is the public editor of the Detroit Free Press, John X. Miller. John, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm well favored and blessed.
There you go. Much has happened since we've last talked.
Well, only the Lord knows what we have in store given the storm along the Gulf course, but you're right. So much has happened.
So much has happened. Start a little locally with us, if you can. What's going on in the mayoral election in Detroit?
Well, I guess I could sum it up with the word acrimony and debate. What's happening in Detroit is the two mayoral candidates, incumbent Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick and challenger Freeman Hendricks, had their first debate about 8-9 days ago, and it was in front of the Detroit Economic Club, and there were some unexpected remarks made by the mayor concerning drug use of teens in two well-to-do suburbs compared to teens in Detroit, and that sparked a debate about whether he should have said that in the context of that debate, because the debate was about what was happening in Detroit. And then folks in the suburbs began to respond to that.
Now, what did he say?
Basically, he said high school kids in two well-to-do suburbs, Bloomfield Hills and, I believe, Birmingham, do more meth and ecstasy than kids in Detroit.
Okay. And is that supported by the facts? I suspect that it is, but is that supported by the facts?
There were no statistics to back it up that we were able to find at the newspaper, and that he later admitted that there were no facts in terms of definable information that he had in making that statement.
It was anecdotal and observational.
Exactly. And what that led to was a news conference the next day by the county executive in Oakland County and the two superintendents of the school district saying the latest facts, the latest statistics that they had indeed showed that drug use among kids in their school district was down.
And specifically as it regarded to, with regard to meth, did they have?
Yes, they were basically talking about meth, ecstasy, marijuana, and cocaine. So they covered the landscape.
But insofar as making a comparison of apples to apples, meth use in urban schools as opposed to meth use in suburban schools, has anybody been able to make that apples to apples comparison?
No, they haven't, because one of the reasons is that the survey that the people in Birmingham and Bloomfield Hills quoted, that information was taken from a survey that Detroit did not participate in and had participated in about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no apples-to-apples comparison available.
Okay, and the criticism leveled at the mayor, where did it come from? What parts of the city? I mean,
it came from the community at large.
Okay.
You know, folks in Detroit and folks outside of Detroit, but support came from people in Detroit, and some support came from people in the suburbs. Because what, given the contentiousness of the race, the mayor's race, some people thought, well, it was a valid topic to talk about if people were taking shots at Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Then other folks said, well, essentially what he's trying to do is galvanize support for Detroiters by making a statement like that.
Us against them. Us against them type of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And how did his opponent respond to that, or has he responded?
Well, he responded by saying, really, it's a non-issue, because what we're trying to deal with is what's happening in Detroit. And but there was another comment made by Kilpatrick toward Hendricks, and it was something like, no one in my family has run up against the criminal justice system. Can you say that for your family?
Oh, no, he didn't say that.
He did. And then not off camera, but Hendricks kind of muttered, but it was picked up by the TV cameras. He said to Kilpatrick, well, if you got some, bring it on. So that was the first debate.
Ooh, that's personal.
It's gotten personal. And one reason it's probably gotten personal is because Kilpatrick is behind in the polls, and in the August primary, he lost almost 2-1 to Hendricks. So there's, as I said, acrimony and debate happening in the race.
What's the age of the two candidates?
I'm sorry?
The ages of the two candidates. Is there a
So Kilpatrick is probably about 34. Five,
okay.
Around that age, and Hendricks is probably, I believe, early 50s.
So there's a generational difference between these two men.
There is a generational difference, and Hendricks was in the previous administration of Dennis Archer, who was the mayor of Detroit, and was deputy mayor. And there has been accusations of against Archer and subsequently Hendricks's administration of the because of ways that they did or they didn't do certain things in the city. And now there's also a budget deficit in Detroit, and Hendricks is saying, well, when we left the mayor's office in 2001, there was no deficit. We had a surplus, and now there's almost a $300 million deficit.
Wow.
And so the issue of the deficit is up for discussion and up for manipulation in terms of going back and forth.
Is that accurate? I mean, are Hendricks' numbers right?
Well, there was a surplus when they left office. And as far as the deficit, there is a looming budget deficit that because they haven't really acted on it definitively at the end of the fiscal year in actually 2006, it could be upwards of $300 million.
And can that responsibility of that be laid at the feet of the current mayor?
Pretty much. And I say that given also the circumstances that the economy was decent when the previous administration was in, and essentially when Kilpatrick took office, the economy started going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan has the highest unemployment rate in the country of any state,
mm-hmm.
and Detroit, I believe, has an unemployment rate of around 18-19%.
Mm.
So some of that is the doing of circumstances outside of Kilpatrick's control, which is the fact that manufacturing jobs are leaving Michigan and leaving Detroit. The auto companies are hemorrhaging jobs. We have a story on the front page today about Ford losing about 3,000 jobs on top of job losses over the last 2 or 3 years from all of the big three companies. And things along the line of bankruptcies going up in the state of Michigan.
And has the current mayor kind of lost his cuteness too? I mean, his uniqueness, the whole hip hop youth thing that he had going for him in the beginning?
No, I don't think he has, because he has maintained that persona, and I think that's a legitimate persona for him, because you know he's going to be a hip hop mayor or not, meaning even if he's not mayor, he's still going to have that same persona.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to galvanize the folks who have seen progress in the city of Detroit. One of the things that his critics have been saying about him, I think unfairly, is that there hasn't been progress in the city. And I think there has been progress in the city. I mean, definitively, you can look around the city and see that roads are being paved. You can see that there's new housing development. We had the All-Star Game come to town a couple of months ago, which was a huge success. They sold more tickets for that All-Star Game than any All-Star Game prior, All-Star Weekend,
okay,
meaning All-Star Game Day and also the things surrounding it. And then we've got the Super Bowl coming up in February.
Oh, so really? Okay.
Yeah, so I think that he has made some definitive progress on several fronts in the city, but I think his critics aren't going to give him credit for that. But the thing that seems to be vexing him is the idea that he is not performing on with working with the city council and reducing this deficit, and that he is somewhat dragging his feet in resolving the deficit issue because he hasn't appeared before city council. He had to be subpoenaed by city council to come to talk to them, and he's appearing, I believe, next Tuesday before city council to talk about how that he's going to continue to reduce the deficit that the city has.
Now, is the result of this election going to have any kind of impact on us nationally? Will it matter in terms of policies or fiscal practices nationally? Who gets elected? Who is elected in this race?
I think we'll have to wait and see, because historically, what's happened in Detroit, historically, Detroit is in favor with a Democratic administration. It's not in favor with a Republican administration.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are some things that won't necessarily tie directly to the mayoral race that might have national impact. But there may be some things locally that happen in things like education with charter schools, or there may be something that happens with educational programs like Head Start or the housing HUD. Some of those things may manifest themselves in either type of administration, but as far as a broad-based policy or a broad-based indication of what Detroit might be as a trendsetter nationally, I don't see the election specifically affecting that.
Are there any real distinct differences between the two candidates in terms of how they would run the city?
Oh, well, let me say this, and today's front page of the Free Press, our strip story across the top. The headline is, "Why Can't We All Get Along?"
Mm.
And yesterday's Detroit News, the lead headline was, "Racial Divide Haunts Metro Detroit." So I think one of the things that divides not only Detroit and this metro region is this issue of race. And one of the accusations against Hendricks is that he's not black enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this idea that what means one thing to Kilpatrick and his administration will be something different to Hendricks's administration, because it is perceived in some quarters that Hendricks is getting support from the white suburbs while Kilpatrick is the candidate of black Detroit.
And is that true?
Well, I think if you look at, and this is a really good indication, campaign contributions, they're coming from all over, okay? So black folk and white folk are supporting, well, and also Arab Americans and Latinos, are supporting financially both candidates.
Mm-hmm.
But perception becomes reality in some cases. And in case in point is that once Hendricks moves into any kind of public office, we'll have to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can only determine right now what his administration might be based upon his role as deputy mayor in the Arch administration. With Kilpatrick, we do know how some of his friends and family and other people have benefited directly from him being in office.
Well, how do we explain then that if the issue comes down to in a city that is, what's the percentage of black folks in Detroit?
It's about 87-88%.
Okay, 88% black folks. Hendricks is the perception is that he's not black enough. How do you explain the difference in the votes in the primary between Kwame and Hendricks?
I think it comes down to competence and to the ability of people to believe that Hendricks will be more fair-handed and open-minded about making sure that not only his friends and family benefit from what happens once he gets in office. I think one of the things that, again, has vexed Kilpatrick is this, what people have called his friends and family plan, which are his friends and family benefit from him being in office.
Mm.
There have been several, I'd say, minor scandals, and I wouldn't even really call them scandals in a sense, because nobody has gone to jail and there's been no, you know, great upheaval in terms of people leaving his administration because of it. But there have been people who have personally benefited or have had friends or their cohorts benefit from being in his administration. I mean, one example is that within the last month, the director of development for the city of Detroit resigned because he was caught essentially selling homes for about $500 to $600 to people and relatives that he knew, when those same homes should have been being sold for $20,000 to $25,000.
Wow, $500.
$500. That's right.
Wow.
I mean, and again, it was turned up by the media, and once the media got a hold of it, of course, it became public knowledge, and then this person, who was very well respected at the time, resigned.
Mm.
So that's kind of the tenor of the Kilpatrick administration. It's not that the city is not moving forward in some quarters. It's that people believe that ultimately certain individuals will benefit more under a Kilpatrick administration than folks who might benefit under the entire city, that is, might benefit under a Hendricks administration.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to John X. Miller. He's the public editor of Detroit Free Press. This is Looking Black. And when we come back, John, let's talk about Katrina, perceptions.
Okay.
All right?
Will do.
I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work. Westbound 70 is at 94. There's road construction. Left lane is closed. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway. Construction has that exit closed. You can use 11th Street to get around the construction zone. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Gasconade, no problems report. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler to 270, everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 is slow in pockets at Timberlake Manor and heavy from 141 all the way to Mason Road. Eastbound 70 at Mid Rivers Mall Drive and Blanchett Bridge, look for normal traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44 is slow. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, slow traffic in the right lane. Then it slows from New Florissant all the way into 170. Eastbound 40 at Spady, look for crowded, slow traffic. Then at Brentwood, it slows again. Westbound 5570 split from 64 on the Poplar Street Bridge, stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit to Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street on to the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect slow traffic. And 94 at Heritage, look for an accident there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Interested in buying or selling a home? Call Mary Rosenblum at Blake and Davis Realtors. You'll get a real hometown advantage with their e-advantage, excellence, expertise, and experience, all at Blake and Davis. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Not quite as warm today, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm, high around 80 this evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight, a 30% chance of showers with a low in the upper 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s, and Sunday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers, the high around 80 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call up next. Looking Black will continue. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Why do you listen to WGNU? Hi, I'm Charles Gere, Program Director of Radio Free St. Louis, and your answer could make you a winner. Tell us why in a postcard or email of 100 words or less. We'll draw one entry each Monday through Friday during September as part of today's Solutions with Dave Lenihan. You could win some cool stuff from your friends at AM 920, and we all win because your comments will help make Radio Free St. Louis even better. Send a postcard to Why Do You Listen, WGNU 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108, or email me at cgeer@wgnu.net. Include Why Do You Listen in your subject line. Drawings begin Thursday, September 1st and Friday, September 30th. One entry per address, one prize per family, please. WGNU employees, sponsors, and affiliates, including immediate families, are not eligible. No substitution of prizes. All decisions are final. Tell us why you listen, and thanks for listening to Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and online at WGNU.net.
See the new Shanghai Circus in Branson, Missouri. Over 40 acrobats of China bring the Aryan to you. From the playful lion dances to the thrilling aerial ballet, you're in for an amazing experience. Tumblers and vendors and twisters, lions and dragons and jugglers, oh my! See the new Shanghai Circus in Branson, Missouri. Call 417-336-8888. That's 417-336-8888.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. Our guest this morning, and let me give you our digits first, 1-877-920-WGNU, revolution at LizBrown.com, 454-0400, LizBrown.com, WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can check out archive shows of The Wake Up Call, and we are broadcast all over the world at www.WGNU.net. Our guest on Looking Black this morning is John X. Miller. He's the public editor at Detroit Free Press, and he's joining us from Detroit. John, welcome back.
I'm glad to be here.
And I want to talk about your take on everything. Whenever I talk to folks about the umbrella under which the story of Katrina lies is Kanye West's statement. George W. Bush doesn't care about black people. Did we see that? Did you see that?
Well, I saw so much, and in terms of
the
24/7 news cycle, I might have seen too much.
It was so much.
It's the spawn of the 24/7 news cycle, which is the fact that no matter what happens, it's going to be on television, and if there's not going to be any meaningful news coverage out of it, they're just going to repeat the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Mm.
And I think that is something that the media elite have to deal with ourselves in terms of inundating the public with useful or sometimes useless or repetitive information, it makes us less sensitive to important information.
Mm.
So one of the things that I got out of Katrina is that there are seminal moments in big stories like this that sometimes go unnoticed. And I think one of those seminal moments that went unnoticed because there was such a fixation on New Orleans, and we'll talk about that in a second, was that there were probably millions of people affected outside of New Orleans, people of color, that were more affected than the folks in the city and will have a greater economic impact on the United States.
Mm.
I mean, for instance, yesterday we had a story in the paper about some folks from the Detroit Pistons going down to Biloxi, Mississippi, and talking with their friends and family in Biloxi, and there have not been American Red Cross, there have not been Salvation Army, there has not been much help to Biloxi, and Biloxi was flattened. We had a picture in the paper.
How would you know that?
Say again?
How would anybody
know
that?
That's exactly my point. We fixate so much on New Orleans, the people who are really, really in need, not only in need of rebuilding their homes and getting life back to normal, but actually getting that same food and water that's all now being funneled to New Orleans. You know, it needs to take a left turn or a right turn to go to places like Gulfport, Mississippi, or go to some other places in Louisiana and Alabama.
Well, and I was thinking as you're talking about what happened to Biloxi, just think about the moment when this administration decided that they wanted to do something about New Orleans. Think of all of the empty buses that went to New Orleans. Think about that the federal government finally sent the water, the food, and everybody was gone out of New Orleans. Everybody
That's
right. The city was already empty, and yet Biloxi had needs, Beaumont had needs, all of these cities with black people, and a lot
That's
of them
right.
had black mayors.
That's right. That's right. They were invisible to media coverage. And one of the reasons that New Orleans got all the focus was because there was conflict and turmoil there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the media over covers is conflict and drama.
Mm-hmm.
And there was drama in Gulfport. There was drama in Biloxi, but there was not as much conflict as there was in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So the media gravitated to that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we reported in the paper yesterday out of Biloxi was that 3 weeks after the hurricane, there haven't even been search parties there to search for some of the people who are missing.
Jesus.
There have not been relief trucks going in to begin to move some of the debris so that the roads can be cleared so that people can get to the coastline and try to begin to not only to rebuild, before they can rebuild, they got to assess. They haven't even done that.
We had a guest on the show yesterday, Vanessa Williams, the executive director of the National Conference of Black Mayors,
mm-hmm.
and she and the other mayors held a press conference in Washington, D.C. yesterday to speak to that very issue about how there are like 100-something cities in that region that have black mayors. Over 50% of those cities were affected and impacted hugely by Katrina. And those are stories that have not been. Some cities doubled their population as a result of Katrina.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
And these are stories that are not being reported. She talked about the 300 children that are still missing.
Oh Lord.
You know, it's
ridiculous, and it's gotten to the point where now that Rita is here, that they are even going to fall even further off the radar screen. They're even going to get less coverage. Because they're going to get less coverage, it means they're going to get less funding. That means that the American Red Cross and Salvation Army, they're going to be diverting resources to Texas and to other parts of Louisiana that are going to get hit by the current hurricane.
But you know, Red Cross can't stop giving stuff to places that they never gave it to.
That's a good point.
What Vanessa Williams was saying yesterday is that the same thing that you're saying about Biloxi, Red Cross hasn't touched these towns,
mm-hmm.
and neither has FEMA. In fact, on the day that the storm was hitting, and the Organization of Black Mayors was making phone calls to FEMA on behalf of these mayors whose cell phones were dying out as the storm was there, FEMA said, well, we don't have the paperwork, and why are you calling instead of them?
Mm-hmm. And that's the other story. I mean, I know we fixated on the whole issue of race and class and looking at the Superdome and at the convention center and the troubles there, but look at the inadequacy of our federal government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has taken on biblical proportions.
Ah!
I mean, in terms of the inability of people who we pay our good money to day in, I mean, second after second, day after day, who we pay our taxes to, and they are so ineffective to the point where they can't even make a decision about making a decision.
Mm.
And people's lives are in peril minute after minute and day after day. And we're going to see, unfortunately, if we're going to see the same ramifications to some extent with Rita.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea that FEMA is supposed to be one of the most powerful organizations in the world was just laying bare in terms of its inadequacy and the impotence of our political leadership in Washington.
Well, do you think that there's also been a missed observation, if you will, on the role of Homeland Security? Because, for real, Homeland Security is in charge. FEMA is under
that's
Homeland
true.
Security.
Yeah, yeah, and that, again, goes back to the inability of our government to kind of know exactly where to put its resources and how to manage something of this scale. I didn't see, from my perspective as a journalist, the need, because FEMA operated relatively well before Homeland Security, I did not see the reason for putting FEMA, which was considered one of the most effective and well-run organizations before the Bush administration came into power, under Homeland Security, and look at how the money by Homeland Security has been squandered in so many places.
Now, when we have to take a break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk about your observation of how other places are covering this story, because I don't feel like we're getting a lot of stories about Homeland Security and how much money we put into that in conjunction with what has happened as the federal response to Katrina has been. So can we talk about that?
We don't doubt about it. Okay. Yeah, I've got a couple of observations on that.
Very good. I'm talking to John X. Miller, public editor, Detroit Free Press. He's joining us from Detroit. This is Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. We have so much more to come at you.
Come away with me on a bus. Come away.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Great group discounts and hospitality packages available. Call 314-622-BLUE to book your reservation now.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Accra. 24 Ghanaians have been deported from the United States for various immigration violations. They were put on a plane yesterday and sent back to their native country after being held in various detention camps for various lengths of time. The federal government says their violations included domestic violence charges, forgery, and possession of controlled drugs. Some of the 24 said they are legal residents of America and were not able to contact their families and were also not told about the deportation proceedings. Another 41 Liberians were also deported and placed on the same plane flight back to Africa for similar violations. And Dateline New York. Media mogul Rupert Murdoch leveled sharp criticism at the BBC for what he called slanted reporting about Hurricane Katrina that was full of pure hatred for America. Murdoch owns the Sky Television Network, The Sun, The London Times, and News of the World newspapers. He called the BBC a government-owned thing. According to Murdoch, people around the world are jealous of the United States, and anti-Americanism is popular all over Europe. He said he had repeated his thoughts to British Prime Minister Tony Blair, who echoed his sentiments. The British government and the BBC have had ideological differences since before the start of the Iraq War. On a news magazine program, a weapons inspector named Dr. David Kelly admitted that intelligence information had been doctored. In July of 2003, Kelly was found dead after being characterized as a whistleblower. During a subsequent inquiry into the matter, the government chose to attack the BBC for its reporting rather than focus on Kelly's charges. That action led to the sacking of three BBC news staffers. Murdoch may have chosen this time to make his remarks because the BBC is just about ready to submit a funding request to continue operations for the next several years. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head for you. Oh, you. I want you to want me. I need you so badly, I can't think of anything but you.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. Our guest this morning is John X. Miller, public editor, Detroit Free Press, joining us from Detroit. So, John, what are some other things that, how was the issue of FEMA not covered, or the issue of Homeland Security not covered in the wake of or the aftermath of Katrina?
There has been very little intrusive or investigative coverage of what FEMA and Homeland Security haven't done. And that's longstanding. I think one of the things that the media have backed away from is this idea that we're supposed to investigate and supposed to be the watchdog of our government.
We saw, I felt that I saw some moments that they were kind of headed, and maybe the bar has been lowered so far that you know, anything that they do other than being, you know, totally responsive to an administration, it, you know, gives you hope or unfounded hope. But I thought that I saw some flashes of that in some of the reporting.
I think you did see some flashes of that. And if you look at kind of the media pundits, the pundits around Katrina, I think there were flashes of that, primarily because reporters were in the midst of some of this confusion and chaos.
There you go.
And oftentimes reporters are reporting above it or reporting about it or reporting around it. They're not in the midst of it.
Or embedded in it.
That's right. And so that's one reason why you saw more reporting of it. But as soon as the crisis waned and the reporters were sent back to their the air-conditioned offices, then the coverage ended.
Mm.
One of the things that I have noticed about coverage, particularly around Homeland Security and about things that we should be knowing about as far as public and our being citizens, is that the government is very good at obfuscating what they're doing. They are very good at stonewalling. They're very good at putting up barriers that news organizations, once those barriers are there, they won't try to get over those hurdles. And some of that is a manifestation of the Homeland Security persona that the government has projected, meaning we're doing this for your safety, we're doing this for your good. And the media is very accepting of that. We don't file lawsuits, we don't file FOI suits against government entities to find out what real information is. And when we are being restricted, I mean, for instance, the Free Press had to go to court just recently, and we won a decision where we wanted to get mugshots, simply photographs of people arrested by the U.S. Marshals, which was a common practice before 9/11.
And
since that practice ended, I mean, because of 9/11, now we have to sue every time we want that kind of information.
And what is the explanation of why you can't get a mugshot?
The explanation that they were given was because it's a security issue.
Because why?
And that's because of legislation. That's really all they have to say. It's a security issue. Now, whether we buy that or not is a different question.
How could that be a security issue?
Well, the reasoning that the Marshal Service gave in court was that these are people who could potentially be on terrorist watch lists, and these are people who could potentially flee if we, as the media, let them know that we're after them.
Huh?
Right. Very specious argument.
Huh?
But again, the burden now is on media to prove that these yahoos in government are indeed wrong. The burden used to be that they had to prove that they had to keep it from us. They had to prove the reasons why they needed to keep it from us. Now it's the opposite.
And then that comes down to an issue of money. That comes down to an issue of tenacity that on part of the reporter, and also and whether or not they're the entity that the reporter works for wants to fight them like that.
That's exactly right. And you know, one of the things that is very expensive are legal fees,
mm-hmm.
because you know the government can drag out any proceeding as long as they want, and it takes months, sometimes years, to get decisions made. Again, this is something, it's 2005, and this began probably around 2002 with this Marshal Service issue. So it's been about 3 years for us to get some ruling on it, and that entire time, legal fees have to be paid. Now, one of the things, fortunately, that the Free Press won in this instance was
attorney's fees.
Was legal fees.
Okay.
Yes, the government now has to pay our legal fees because they were stonewalling without any real reason.
And when you got the pictures, right?
Yeah.
Well,
we haven't gotten them yet because now the government is appealing that decision. But what we did win was the fact that they got to pay our legal fees no matter what happened. But we think that we're going to win. That's why we're persistent. But how many news organizations are going to be persistent enough to fight on every issue like this?
And what is the story that you're putting together with these pictures?
Well, there's really not much. There's not a major story that we're working on. We're just trying to make sure that we're able to do our journalism unimpeded by the government. So it's not a huge hurdle that we thought that we'd have to jump over, but in terms of kind of the tenor of the way things are going, if you don't fight the small decisions, you got no shot at winning the big decisions.
So what are the possibilities of there being extensive reporting on just doing simple journalism 101, compare and contrast the homeland security and the money that's been poured into it and the results that have come out of it?
Well, firstly, there's only going to be few organizations who have the investigative skill and tenacity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the media organizations in the country, you're probably talking only the networks, only the top maybe 10 or 15 newspapers who have the tenacity, the skill, and the money to be able to do that, because it's going to be a fight. So if one of these news organizations doesn't take that up, then it won't happen. And in the newspaper world, generally you're talking about the New York Times, the Boston Globe, LA Times, Washington Post, maybe Newsday, maybe the Newark Star-Ledger, maybe the Oregonian. But again, there's only a handful of newspapers, maybe 10 or 15.
Christian Science Monitor,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But again, very few newspapers who have the expertise, the tenacity, and the money to follow through on that, because it's going to take years to break through that legal, governmental, bureaucratic veneer that's been put in place now.
Now, we have 2 minutes left here, John. I just want to ask you about the issue of race. Do you see that the kind of fiddling around the edges, that what we kind of sort of maybe talked about a little bit as a result of Katrina. Do you see it going any further than that?
Not really. And the reason I say that is because we don't have these kind of discussions unless there's a crisis or unless there's courage. And I don't see a whole lot of political or non-political leaders who have the courage to push that agenda and then to have the clout to push that agenda. And I think the crisis has passed in terms of immediately having to deal with it.
What about the issue of class?
That is an issue that I think we could traverse a lot easier. But again, I don't see any political will or leadership or even non-political will or leadership to push that issue. I mean, I know, for instance, that next month we have the Million Man's the Farrakhan
Millions More Movement.
Yes, Millions More Movement
mm-hmm.
March, which is about class
mm-hmm.
and not as much about ethnicity. You know, maybe perhaps that can galvanize people to begin thinking about the divisive issues that we need to frequently talk about and constantly work on.
And
but we do need that will, and we do need leadership, and some of that is absent right now.
And that's a great segue, because, as a matter of fact, Minister Farrakhan is going to be here in St. Louis on Sunday speaking on that very issue.
I hope and I pray that we are blessed and astute enough to recognize that these opportunities don't come along very often, and that we take advantage of that opportunity.
John X. Miller, public editor, Detroit Free Press. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Take care.
Godspeed.
Godspeed to you. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. They ran for their lives and died trying to get out of Hurricane Rita's path. There's a report of as many as 20 people dead in a bus fire southeast of Dallas, a bus believed to be carrying 43 elderly storm evacuees from Houston.
After days of gridlock traffic jams, now tragedy on Interstate 45, the main evacuation route between Houston and Dallas. A bus has caught fire, carrying refugees away from the storm that has stopped all traffic on that highway again. Also, officials report 1,000 or more cars along the sides of Interstate 45 out of gas.
ABC's Vic Ratner in Houston. A Dallas County Sheriff's spokesman says it's possible oxygen used by elderly evacuees could have played a role in that bus fire. Three storm evacuees died in Fort Bend County of carbon monoxide poisoning and heat exhaustion. Many roads have been jammed on the way out of the storm.
I've been on the road for 24 hours. I've made it 73 miles.
He called into KTRH Radio in Houston early today. The Category 4 storm has top winds of 140 miles an hour, but some people just won't go.
Call it bad planning or bravado. Every hurricane has a few stay-behinds, people who refuse to heed the warnings, even as the town empties out around them.
Bring it on. I was in Cozumel, Mexico, on September 22, 1988, when Hurricane Gilbert hit.
The police admit they cannot force people like that man to leave. They remind them, though, that they stay at their own peril. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Galveston, Texas.
The storm is expected to hit somewhere along the Texas-Louisiana coast by early tomorrow.
There may be some fluctuations in strength. We might see a little bit of strengthening, might see a little bit of weakening before it makes landfall. But generally speaking, the hurricane has pretty much held its own.
Hurricane specialist Stacy Stewart at the National Hurricane Center in Miami. President Bush is due in Texas today to get a look at storm preparations. He's headed today to San Antonio. This is ABC News.
If you're thinking about refinancing to tap some of the equity you've built up in your home, you'd better get a move on. The Federal Reserve has hiked rates 10 times in the last year, and today's mortgage rates are almost guaranteed to rise from near record lows. If you play your refinancing cards right, you can access cash at a far lower cost than what you're paying on your credit cards or car loan. In a moment, winning advice.
Today's winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree. Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE now to refinance your mortgage and get up to 4 customized offers that you can compare and act on instantly. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
If you're looking to remodel your home, pay down that consumer debt, or consolidate a floating rate second mortgage into one combined fixed rate loan, now is the time to act. As for what you can do with the money, there aren't any restrictions. Just don't be frivolous. Treat it like free money, and believe me, you'll regret it.
John Roberts is a step closer to the top job at the nation's highest court. ABC's Pam Coulter has the latest from Capitol Hill.
John Roberts' nomination goes to the Senate floor with bipartisan approval from the Judiciary Committee and no apparent impediment to his becoming the nation's 17th Chief Justice. Republicans could see no logical reason to vote against someone with such an impressive legal resume. But South Carolina's Lindsey Graham suggested it may have to do with a more contentious battle ahead.
They're trying to drive down the vote numbers because of the next person to come.
The president's expected to announce his choice to replace key swing vote Sandra Day O'Connor after the Senate votes on Roberts' confirmation next week. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Capitol Hill.
Prayers at a service for Simon Wiesenthal. A Holocaust survivor turned Nazi hunter was buried in Jerusalem, described by some as the conscience of the Holocaust. He died in his sleep in Vienna at 96. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Panford Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, Missouri Governor Matt Blunt is ordering that all flags at state facilities in Missouri be flown at half-staff to honor the memory of a fallen Missouri Highway Patrol officer. Trooper Kevin Floyd was killed in the line of duty yesterday. Blunt says flags should remain at half-staff until dusk on the evening of Floyd's funeral services. Funeral arrangements have not been announced. Governor Blunt is making several stops throughout Missouri for the ceremonial signing of a new abortion law, even though the legislation is being blocked by a federal judge. The legislation gives parents the right to sue anyone who helps their daughter get an abortion without their consent. It also includes a provision requiring abortion providers to have hospital privileges within 30 miles of their clinics. Governor Blunt officially signed the bill into law on September 15th, and it has since been blocked in a federal court by Judge Nanette Laurie. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says after recent confirmation hearings, he doesn't support Judge John Roberts' nomination as Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court.
I asked Judge Roberts pointed questions about where he stood on civil rights, on human rights, on workers' rights, on women's rights, on protecting the environment. And unfortunately, he was not responsive.
Durbin says he expects that the nominee will be confirmed, and he hopes that Roberts will show great depth of legal knowledge while serving in the nation's highest court. The Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday voted 13-5 to recommend the confirmation of Roberts as the next Chief Justice. Roberts' nomination now moves to the full Senate, where a vote is expected late next week. Sunday is World Heart Day. The observance is designed to raise awareness of the importance of improving your heart health. Dr. Roger Blumenthal, the director of the Johns Hopkins Center for the Prevention of Heart Disease, says abdominal fat can be an indicator of heart disease. The State Department of Health and Senior Services says heart disease is the number one killer of men and women in Missouri. Finally this hour, the Rams will play their home opener Sunday against the Titans at the Edward Jones Dome. The game marks a rematch of Super Bowl 34, which the Rams won despite the best efforts of Tennessee quarterback Steve McNair. The 11-year veteran still leads the Titans' offense and is supported by the running back duo of Chris Brown and Travis Henry. Both teams are 1-1, with the Rams winning at Arizona last week while Tennessee was victorious at home over the Ravens. It's a noon kickoff on Sunday at the Dome. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Rhodes Furniture. After 130 years, Rhodes Furniture is in bankruptcy and is closing their stores forever in St. Louis, Baldwin, Hazelwood, St. Peter's, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Everything must be liquidated immediately at sacrifice prices. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance. Westbound 70 at 94 is road construction. The left lane is closed. Eastbound 40, the last Missouri exit, Broadway is closed due to construction on the exit ramp. You can use 11th Street to get around that construction area. Northbound 55 between Virginia and Lafayette, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Meraz Overpass and 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 at Mason, slow traffic lined up on the right lane as you approach Highway 270. Eastbound 70 between Cave Springs and Blanchette Bridge, look for normal traffic this hour. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, it is stop and go this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Hall Ferry to West Florissant, look for slow traffic in the right lane, and then it slows from New Florissant all the way into 170. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, it is slow, then it's crowded at Brentwood as well. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Southbound 270 between Big Bend and 44, slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB, stop-and-go traffic in your 8 a.m. commute. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for a bit of a brief slowdown, but everything should be green light there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from the 8th Street onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for a heavy volume this hour. And northbound 25th at, or North 25th at Montgomery Street. Look for an injury accident in St. Louis. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, trust those who know your vehicle best. Through September, see your local Toyota dealer to schedule your complimentary tire rotation with the purchase of any regularly priced oil change. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For the remainder of today, not quite as warm. Mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, a high around 80 this evening. Mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight. Chance for showers with a low in the upper 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy once again. Another chance for showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees under overcast skies. Lambert Field is reporting 73 and overcast as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, how can
it is time for us to use our power. Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember this.
Say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sustain?
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. The struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we
we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways get to us. Understand, we broadcast live every day on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, and you can hit me at revolution@lizbrown.com. We are archived also every day on the White Rose, on whiterosesociety.org. It seems like we haven't had an opportunity to download, to dissect, to catalog even all of the stories that have come out about Katrina. We haven't. It's only been 3 weeks. And there's so much, there is so much mess tied into, connected into, caught up in Katrina that we haven't begun to scratch the surface. One of the stories that struck me about Katrina was how the world got to see the United States toppled, the greatest superpower in the world toppled by Katrina. But then there's the other part of that, how the world wanted to respond to our needs in Katrina, as a result of Katrina. Folks from who were hit by the tsunami sent $10,000. Little countries were sending $100,000. Big countries are sending money and things. We got a big shipment of meat from one country. I believe it was Great Britain. And what our country do with it? They burned it. Set it on fire. You can hear beef, you can smell beef burning for miles. And what was our government's explanation? They were afraid of mad cow disease, is what they said. They got mad cow disease? We need to talk about what kind of mad cow disease we got here. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Patty LaVera, Deputy Director for Public Citizens Food Program. Patty, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Very good. We burned a whole lot of meat from, I believe it was Great Britain, this government did, because of fear of mad cow. How are we doing here on this mad cow issue? Should we be burning meat here?
Well, I mean, the thing that I can add to the debate about mad cow is that this summer, after months of trying, the group I work for, Public Citizen, got a bunch of records from the USDA, from the Department of Agriculture. And what the records showed were every time that a government meat inspector had written up a problem that they saw in a meat plant relating to mad cow disease. So relating to those rules that are specifically about mad cow disease. And the reason that the weight was so significant is that they seemed not to want to give us those records, and then they seemed not to be able to give us those records. And all along we kept hearing, there's no problem here, everything is under control, the system is working, which is one of the favorite phrases that they use. And then, you know, finally in August we got this box of documents delivered to us that showed about 829 violations had been found in about a year and a half.
And the rules that the violations refer to, talk to us about what the rules are.
Mm-hmm. So there are three main ways, if you want to tackle a disease like mad cow disease, that we believe is spread by feeding the nervous system tissue of cattle back to cattle. That's how we believe that the disease spreads around. So there's a bunch of ways you can try and contain that disease. You can have really strict rules about what cattle can eat. which is done by the FDA, and then you can have a testing program before the cows go to slaughter to make sure that they don't get into that system for human food, you know, and that they're taken out of the system if they have it. That's the USDA. And then the last step, and what everybody in government refers to as the ultimate public health measure, is to keep those nervous system tissues out of the human food supply. So even if those other two things don't work, the feeding rules and the testing program, that at least you don't let cattle nervous system tissue get to humans.
And who's in charge of that?
That's the USDA.
Okay.
And those are the records that we got.
Okay.
And specifically, we categorize them into three types of rules. One is, does the food safety plan, the paperwork and the write-up and the study that each plant has to do about what their food safety rules are going to be, does that plan include mad cow disease? The second one is, have they determined the age of the cow properly? And that's important because the USDA rules say that a cow under 30 months is less risky than a cow over 30 months. And they make a distinction about what tissues you have to pull out in the older cows. So it's important that you have the right age so that you do that properly. And then the third set of rules is, are those materials being removed? The spinal cord, the eyes, parts of the intestine, the brain, is all of that being handled in a way that keeps it out of the human food supply?
And there's a PR piece to this, too. The issue that the PR that we're getting from the government is that America doesn't have any mad cow.
Exactly. And ever since first case was discovered here in December of 2003, just before Christmas in 2003. They found a case out in Washington State, and immediately the PR machine kicked into gear. And that was a machine that was jointly operated by the beef industry and by the USDA.
Mm.
It wasn't just the industry. It was the USDA right along with them saying, we don't have a problem here. That was an isolated incident. And just about every move they've made since then has been to try to confirm, you know, that official line that this is isolated incident, but then they found another one, and that just showed that the system was working. You know, everything is about how we don't have a problem here, and we think that's why we had so much trouble getting these records out of them.
So when you looked at the records, what were some of the shocking things that you found?
Well, for those three categories that we talked about,
mm-hmm.
determining the age, getting the materials out, and then the food safety plan,
mm-hmm.
10% of those violations were the age of the cattle was done incorrectly. And that seems really like splitting hairs to people until you remember that everything after that point, if you have the wrong age, if you say that cattle is younger than it really is, then you're not going to pull out the materials that are supposed to be pulled out, the spinal cord, all of the nervous system tissues that are considered to carry that risk. So that's a huge problem. And the reason that this whole process started is that some meat inspectors who work for the government but basically were whistleblowers said, hey, we see the plant employees doing that wrong. We think that we should have more authority to stop the line when we see that problem. And the USDA told them not to worry about it. And so they came to us, and it became a huge production. The president of the union was investigated for bringing this up to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than investigate the policy, the agency investigated him. And so that's why we filed this Freedom of Information Act request to get these records, and just 10% of this pile vindicated what these inspectors had said.
And when we say 10% of the animals are not being aged correctly?
No, this is 10% of the violations that got written up.
Okay.
So that's 80 instances of the age being done incorrectly. So then the response from the industry was, well, that's not that many. But that's 80 times that inspectors wrote up something that they were told was not their problem. So chances are it's happening a lot more than that.
And this is out of one particular plant or?
All over the country.
All over the country.
And we found that violation, I'm just double-checking my list here, we found that violation in 24 states. You know, so this isn't just a matter of, one supervisor somewhere forgot to inform his guys to look for this. This was found in 24 states across the country, and many inspectors were told not to worry about it, and they still wrote it up. So that means it's happening more frequently than what we see in these records.
And what else did you discover?
And then the next category, getting those risk materials, the brain, the spinal cord, tonsils, getting those materials out of the human food supply, we found that 30% of these violations were for that.
Mm.
So that is, let me check, that was 276 written, you know, documented instances of those materials being handled improperly. And again, we think it's fair to say that it happened more than that, and those are the ones that got caught and got written up. And those are, to us, extremely serious because we hear constantly, every time there's some kind of question about USDA's policy, they say, well, that didn't result in any risk to the public. Maybe that went wrong and that went wrong and that went wrong, but there was no risk to the public. No bad product got out. But yet, we, you know, in this pile of violations, we see that a third of them were for problems of prohibited materials getting out into the food.
That got to us.
In these cases, they say, oh, that was pulled off the line. But what about the cases that didn't get caught by the inspectors?
And do we know for sure that these were pulled off the line?
We have to rely on this paperwork that we got, and many of them say, you know, we condemned that product, which means they pull it and they don't let it get sold. And chances are if the inspector saw it, wrote it up, that's how they finished that process, is to pull the product. We're more worried about the ones where they weren't, you know, they weren't able to see it, or they were assigned somewhere else in the plant or something like that.
And what about the rules about pertaining to what the cattle are allowed to eat?
That is actually not part of what we did this summer, but there are definitely weaknesses there as well. That's the Food and Drug Administration in charge of that. And right now, you know, we're going on 2 years after the discovery of that cow in Washington State. That would be 2 years in December. And there are loopholes in the feed rules that still remain. That everyone's been, you know, everybody that works on Mia-Cow disease, all of the consumer groups and a lot of scientists have been trying to really raise hell about for 2 years, and they're still open. And those allow cattle blood to still be fed to cattle. They allow what's called plate waste, which is basically processed food. So that processed food that, you know, left over from of some kind of manufacturing facility or taken out of restaurants that could have beef in it, that can still go into cattle feed. And then probably the grossest one for most people is the waste from the bottom of poultry houses can go into cattle feed. And number one, that just seems really unwholesome to a lot of people. But number two, that's important because chicken feed can have cattle in it. So if they spill that feed and it hits the floor of the poultry barn and then that gets scooped up and put back into cattle feed, that's just a way for cattle to be eating cattle. And so those are really important loopholes that the FDA keeps kind of claiming they're going to fix, but they haven't fixed yet.
So how much at risk are we, Patty?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, we recommend that people just start to ask questions about what beef they're buying and think about it. I mean, some of the rules of thumb are that organic beef, the organic standard doesn't let cattle eat animal protein. So that is one really clear way to prevent the spread of this disease. Another option is to look for grass-fed beef, which means that they've been eating grass, not the manufactured feeds that we worry about for this disease. And we understand that that's not an option for everybody because of just access to it or cost. So another option is to think about what kind of cuts of meat that you buy. So a rule of thumb is that the more processed and ground up, you know, and put into a shape by the company, you know, in the shape of a hot dog or a preformed hamburger patty, that tends to be the cheaper meat, right? They're not going to put, like, a really good steak into a frozen hamburger. That's what you find.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not the way that it works. And so our rule of thumb is that if you buy a better cut of meat and have the store grind it for you, you're going to have a little more confidence that there's not those nervous system tissues in there. Another recommendation we have is just avoiding some of the more processed meats, like hot dogs and things that they do with basically more of the scraps. What's left over, and that's where you get into the risk of those nerves being in there and getting ground up.
And then do you all recommend not eating meat at all?
No, I mean, we think that people have a right to buy this product that has a stamp from the government saying it's inspected and having some confidence that that stamp means something. So we advocate that people buy from someone that they trust. You know, maybe they find a farmer's market or they go to a website like the Eat Well Guide and they look up where they can get sustainable meat that's been raised in a different way. They can ask questions about how it was raised. And then we continue to fight to get USDA to do a better job so that everybody can have confidence in that inspection seal.
How much influence does Congress have on USDA?
That's a good question. I mean, the issue of food safety, mad cow disease, especially mad cow disease, has huge economic pieces of this story, especially mad cow disease, that there are huge trade implications that you were talking about when we opened up the story here about, you know, we won't take meat from England, but we, you know, we're trying to get Japan to take our meat, and the U.S. is using pretty heavy-handed tactics.
I wish I was the fly on the wall with the negotiations with Canada, what Canada gave up in order to have access to us with their meat.
Exactly. I mean, the trade issues, quite frankly, seem a lot more important to some congressmen than the public health issues, because too many of them, in my opinion, are buying into USDA's line that everything is fine, that our system is perfect, and people are just they're just being silly if they don't want our meat. We think that the USDA has a lot more things to change before they can really go around and urge people to take our product confidently, which is not to say that we want to hurt the U.S. beef industry, but we think there's a lot more that the government should be doing to tighten up those rules, and then they could realistically be telling people to trust them. I mean, Congress does have the authority over the USDA, and they could tell them to get themselves in gear and do this, and so that's something that we're always urging them to do.
Are you getting any kind of support from anybody in Congress on this issue?
There are definitely offices that are better than others. And so I think it's important for people when they see their congressman somewhere, you know, if they're out in the community, to talk to them about, you know, as a consumer, I'm concerned about this, because I don't think that they hear enough about that. They're definitely hearing from the beef industry about the economics. And they're definitely hearing from the USDA that really everything is fine. And they need to hear from consumers that we're the other piece of this puzzle. And, we, you know, we're going to demand safer, better standards so that we can know this is safe, and that's your job as the oversight of the USDA to do.
And where can people find out more information about this, Patty?
Yeah, we have a website where a lot of this information is, which is www.foodactivist.org, and that takes you to our food page, and you can look at all of our meat safety and mad cow disease stuff there.
Patty Levera, Deputy Director for Public Citizens Food Program, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Akbar Muhammad on, talking about the event with Minister Farrakhan this Sunday at 5. The doors open at 5:30. Starts about 7 at the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th Street. We're going to be talking about that in the next few minutes. Please don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Commerce Bank. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through the end of the month due to maintenance work. Westbound 70 and 94, there's road construction. The left lane is closed. Eastbound 48 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway exit. Look for construction work having that exit ramp closed. The 11th Street exit is open. You can use that exit to get around the construction area. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and Brewery, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge, look for very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 at Mason, that traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Eastbound 70 between Zumbel and 270, everything's flowing freely. Northbound 270 between Sappington and 44, it is stop and go this hour. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, that traffic's easing finally. Eastbound 40 between 270 and the Hanley, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound 40 at Clayton Skinker, all the way in the Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 split from 4th Street onto the PSB, it is stop and go. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for traffic back to normal this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for no problems to report there. And Page at Van Deventer is a report of a vehicle on fire. Northbound Kings Highway at 40, a disabled vehicle partially blocking the westbound 40 entrance ramp. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Commerce Bank. Review balances, account history, even images of checks 24/7 with small business online banking from Commerce. It's fast, easy, and secure. Commerce Bank, member FDIC. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Not quite as warm today, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of showers, high around 80 today. This evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight. 30% chance of showers with a low in the upper 60s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy with another chance for showers, a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under overcast skies, we have 73 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74 under overcast skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
If you're single, I'd like you to try something.
Find three friends or family members and ask them about eHarmony.com. Chances are, you or they know someone that has fallen in love on eHarmony. You might even know one of the thousands that has been married as a result of being matched on eHarmony.
I had some friends who had experienced it, and so I thought, why not give it a shot?
I had a friend of mine say, why don't you give eHarmony a try?
My younger son said, come on, Mom, just try it. What do you have to lose?
Friends and family can be powerful allies when it comes to helping you find the love of your life. So if you're single and curious about eHarmony, ask a friend about us. Or better yet, log on to eHarmony and see for yourself why eHarmony has become the number one relationship site. Do it today and you'll get your $40 personality profile absolutely free. eHarmony.com.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920 WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Akbar Electric. Commercial, Industrial, Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck
between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I stuck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Great group discounts and hospitality packages available. Call 314-622-BLUE to book your reservation now.
Millions More Movement, St. Louis Local Organizing Committee invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis.
On October the 14th, 15th, and 16th, be black, Hispanic, Native American. In unity, we'll change it all.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. Everyone's invited to see Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th. This event is free to the public. The Millions More Movement is peace and unity. United we stand. Divided, we don't stand a chance. The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191. Farrakhan Live. You need to be part of the movement. For more information, log on to MMMStLouis.org.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to you. The ghetto's rah-rah, but we got to keep your head up.
I'll keep your head up.
'Cause a new day will come. And love to the sun, even when the darkness shall come. Oh,
welcome back. Keep your head up. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. We've been talking Matt, we've been talking about all of the issues that are confronting us, all of the issues that are as a result let me put it this way, what Katrina has revealed to those that have had their eyes closed. And we've been talking about how do we confront that. Our guest this on Looking Black, John X. Miller, with this Detroit Free Press, said in himself, he said that, you know, maybe the Millions More movement will be the thing that opens people's eyes or is that spark or is that thing that connects people to the issues of race and class that confront us. I have as a guest on the show this morning Minister Akbar Muhammad to talk about the Millions More movement, to talk about why we need to go and hear Minister Farrakhan on Sunday at the Roberts Theater at doors open at 5:30 at 416 North 9th Street. Why we need to do that. And at this time and at this place. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Very good. And to our brothers and sisters in the audience, assalamu alaikum to my Muslim brothers and sisters in peace to everyone. Thank you, Liz, for having me on for a few minutes.
Always a pleasure.
As you know, we've been on the road. I've been traveling with the minister for the last 6 weeks, and his tour ends Sunday in St. Louis. And he's been working very hard, especially since Katrina. And
who knew? Who knew? Thought we were just going to be talking about the Millions More movement, and God brings us a Katrina.
I know. And what the tragedy. And I want all of those who have lost loved ones, the count yesterday was up to 1,033. But I found out the way they're reporting, they're not reporting other deaths. If you read it carefully, death related to the storm, but other people who died in shootings and other things, they have not been reported.
So wait a minute. So would a baby who died of dehydration, would that be a death due to the storm?
If it happened before the evacuation, they wouldn't even count those. Like say that they were evacuated and taken to Houston, and while in Houston that baby died, they haven't been counting those.
Well, you know, but I know that you know this, but think about this. This is the way that the dead are being counted in Iraq.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, if you die in the helicopter on the way to the hospital after you've lifted off from Baghdad, your death is not counted as being killed in Iraq.
Yes. So the undercounting, first I want to say this, Liz, I know I only have a few minutes, but I just want to say this, that the focus of the march for October the 15th, which is that Saturday, many people cannot spend the weekend in Washington, but the main day to be there is that Saturday. The buses will leave St. Louis on Friday evening about 7 o'clock, arrive 7 o'clock in the morning, stop for breakfast and things, and then spend the day on the mall. Minister Farrakhan announced in Dallas the other day that we're going to have a memorial service on the mall for all of those who lost loved ones. And what we want to do is to get everyone to read the names. We're going to have young people to read the names of those missing and those lost and do a memorial service on the mall with a lot of other people. And then for those brothers and sisters in your listening audience that know how we do funerals in New Orleans, with the second line. We want to have a second line. But that memorial service will go throughout the world, and we will be able to count those who have lost loved ones other than the counts that are being published in the paper. So when Minister Farrakhan comes to St. Louis Sunday, I hope we have a turnout for him. This is his last city. He's extremely overworked. We've been trying to slow him down. But after the tragedy of Katrina, he would not slow down. And so we want to make sure that St. Louis welcomes him. After he leaves St. Louis, God willing, Monday morning he'll be going home. First time home to spend any quality time in 6 weeks since he's been on this tour. So I would, begging the brothers and sisters, don't stay home Sunday evening. It's free and open to the public. And we're going to be broadcasting by webcast to most of America where people can pick it up on webcast absolutely free, and will be on hopefully a few radio stations that they're trying to work out today that he will be heard. But his focus is on what the government failed to do, and I describe it, Liz, as Bush had paralysis of the brain. This is his second time. First paralysis when he sat in that classroom on 9/11 and couldn't get his act together to move. He was like he was sitting there paralyzed. I think Michael Moore brought it out very well. And then when this happened, he took time. He couldn't react. He didn't do what was necessary. And then making five trips back and forth down there. And then what it brought to the surface was the disparity between black race, class, and color. And this even includes poor white people who suffered. But it's interesting, when we went to Houston to talk to the displaced people, and for God's sakes, I hope that our brothers and sisters never use the term refugee. Refugee means someone who is taken out of their country into another country. But they're displaced, internally displaced individuals. We talked to them, and what happened was that there was no preparations. Bush going back and forth now will not save it, but it brought to the surface of how the white population was moved out of the convention center. And even one lady called me from Atlanta and said, Akbar, there were some white people who came to Atlanta with us. We're on a long line waiting for Red Cross and FEMA to help us. I don't see one white person on this line, which showed that they were moved to another line. And our people are very sensitive to that today, of how they're handled as a people in America.
And Minister, can we take a break here?
Yes.
And we need to take a break, and we'll come back to continue this conversation. I'm talking to Akbar Muhammad. We're talking about Katrina. We're talking about Minister Louis Farrakhan coming to town on Sunday. Doors open at 5:30 at the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th Street. It's free. It's the last stop on his tour. You need to be there as we prepare ourselves for the Millions More movement in October. Be there. And we're going to be back to continue this conversation. Stay with us.
Slave ships for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip. For the millions who jumped overboard. For the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, picked the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums. For the millions, for the millions.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline New York. The Palestinian foreign minister says Israel needs to stop all of its settlement activities, as well as the construction of the security wall in the West Bank. Nasser al-Kidwa made his remarks at the UN General Assembly yesterday. He went on to say that Israel is moving forward with construction of the separation wall, as well as establishment of new settlements in the West Bank, even after pulling out of the Gaza Strip. Al-Kidwa says these actions do not bode well for any peace settlement on the two-state solution. He's calling upon Israel to begin negotiations with the Palestinian people over issues pertaining to Gaza, and also called for the release of Palestinian prisoners and detainees. And Dateline Bagram. Earlier this week, Afghanistan President Hamid Karzai expressed concerns over the continued large-scale military operations by foreign troops because he said no serious terrorist challenges remain in his country.
Karzai said coalition forces need to start concentrating on where the terrorists are actually being trained, meaning camps in neighboring Pakistan. Now the U.S. Coalition Operations Commander, Major General Jason Kamiya, has responded by saying American forces will be fighting Taliban rebels well into next year and will need to continue massive airstrikes. President Bush agreed with the general, saying the mission of the 18,000 soldiers in Afghanistan is not finished because there are still terrorists who want to overthrow the government. General Kamiya says the military is spending millions of dollars each month to provide reconstruction jobs in violence-plagued areas of the country in an effort to undermine recruiting efforts by the Taliban. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And I am talking this morning to Akbar Muhammad. We're talking about the Millions More Movement in October. We're talking about Minister Farrakhan's. He's going to be here this weekend, Sunday. The doors open at 5:30 at the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th Street. This is the end of his tour before he goes back home to in preparation for the Millions More Movement. You need to be there this Sunday. You need to be there this Sunday. Akbar, welcome back.
Thank you. And don't forget to the listening audience and those who listen to Liz religiously every morning, Liz Brown will be on the program speaking on the Sunday, so I want you to come out and show your support for this meeting. Malik Ahmed will be there because we worked out with Better Family Life to send that 40-foot tractor full of merchandise to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, one of the towns in Mississippi that was devastated. We did three towns in Mississippi that were off the map because of the focus on New Orleans, but they had lost everything. And those people were so warm when they received the merchandise in the truck, and I want to definitely thank the Millions More Movement, St. Louis, LOC, and Better Family Life. With one of the brothers there, Maurice, who organized it.
And we had Vanessa Williams, the chairman or the CEO of the Black Mayors Association, on yesterday, and she talked about all of the towns that are mostly people of African descent and all of the towns that have black mayors, how they have been devastated by this.
Absolutely. We went down to Jackson to meet with them. Matter of fact, Vanessa Williams helped us to set it up. She's based in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But
she's a wonderful sister.
I'm glad that you had her on the show. That was excellent, Liz, mm-hmm. because the information she gave us about the towns in Mississippi, and many of these towns are majority black towns.
That's right.
Completely devastated.
That's
and
right.
FEMA nor Red Cross had gotten into many of the towns, and most of the people who had lost everything had to drive 40 and 50 miles to centers where they had to sit down and be interviewed and looked at as if they were trying to get something free, and they had lost everything. So I'm glad that you brought focus on this because it is really a problem in Mississippi.
In fact, she said that they were having a press conference on it yesterday because the component of this is that I am pleased to see people of African descent coming together and giving on this, but people need to be raising, you know, hell. You know, with elected officials, because we shouldn't be, there should be money right now to pay for this.
So this
anything that we give
is... The 15th, you know, it's more than just our march to Washington and the 10th anniversary. Now that we have the issue of Katrina and the suffering of our people, and only God knows what the reader will bring in the wake, I just want to say to the audience, Liz, there is a book, and I'm not advertising that you go out and buy the book. It's a little expensive, but you can at least go to the library and read it or go to Borders and look at it. It's called A Rising Tide by John Barry. It's about the flood in 1927 in New Orleans and how they blew the dike up and how the black workers were treated and how black people were handled. Then you had the hurricane in 1900 in Galveston, Texas, that destroyed the whole city, actually. 6,000 people died. But what they did with the black population in terms of the dead bodies and how black men were forced to do certain things is a really interesting review of that history in light of what happened in New Orleans.
Mm.
Book is Rising Tide.
And who's the author?
John Barry.
Okay.
So if you could look into that, because there's a lot of things they say that the people who say that it's blatant racism, it's class, and they say these are troublemakers. They're trying to stir up trouble, but we're only going on the facts. We can look at those screens and see what was projected throughout the world. The offer of Fidel Castro right after the hurricane hit of 1,800 English-speaking doctors to go in. The rejection of the Bush administration, just pushing that to the side. The offer of Hugo Chavez to send in workers and send oil and help. Now they're going to take the gasoline from him on the 25th of this month because they know that the shortage with this storm is going to make gasoline prices escalate and that they're unaffordable for the poor. So now they have accepted the offer of President Hugo Chavez. But these things many of our people are not familiar with because the international picture, Bush is not running back and forth because he has a soft, compassionate Republican heart, because the image of America has been tarnished throughout the world. And he has to try to recoup that image if he's going to try to keep people on the same page with him in this fiasco that he created in Iraq. So now it becomes the question of how the poor, disenfranchised, mainly black people are treated in a country that's tooting its horn about democracy and freedom throughout the world.
And everything that Bush has done has been so calculated, but it's also been revealing. Bush went down to New Orleans, gave his speech in a blue denim shirt, all the lights to illuminate, left just as soon as he did.
Yes.
I mean, that's just kind of the metaphor for what's going on. As soon as he's gone, there's nothing there. There was nothing there before he got there. He gets there, he's gone, and there's still nothing.
Yes, we had a meeting, Liz, and I hope to share with you Sunday. We had a meeting at Howard University. It was called together by Bruce Gordon, the new director of the NAACP. He had Harry Belafonte, who was excellent. Danny Davis was there, Jesse Jackson, a lot of people. Minister Farrakhan couldn't make it, so I was sent in his place. But they came out with a document that I want to make sure that you get a copy of it and have it as a point of discussion in some of your talk next week. Because what this storm, as tragic as it has been, it has forced people to sit down with each other in the black community who wouldn't even speak to each other because what our people want to see is us working in their behalf and not trying to argue over our differences of directions and, you know, upmanship and so forth. But the document is an excellent document because it deals with the rebuilding of New Orleans and the fact that they may try to push black people out of the city and make it mainly a city for other people and people who have a certain level of income and push the black people out. It is interesting, and it's all over the internet that they said that there was the dike was broke at that spot.
That's right.
In order to save another part. And I know it's been discussed on your station, though I've been out of town, but this is what's floating, and if it's not true, then the onus to prove that it's not true rest on the Corps of Engineers, the City of New Orleans, and the government of the United States to dispel this rumor that is circulating heavy, even to the extent that people found burn marks on some of the rocks at the bottom. I don't know if you read it.
Yes, that's right.
And so now if it's not true, then they should state that this is what it is. It's not true. There was a hole under the levee, but it didn't come from an explosion. They need to prove that.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And, you know, God works in mighty ways. You know, this Katrina is an opportunity to tell the world what the world needs to be told.
Yes. Liz, I just want to give you a footnote in history. Richard Nixon was brought out of power by a black man who was just going around doing his job, checking doors. I cannot think of his name, but he passed away. But he's the one in the Watergate break-in. He just tried a door, and it was open.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought down the Nixon government. Here's a storm, by God's permission, that highlights the blatant racism in America and how black people are treated, especially the poor. And it's about to bring down another government.
That's right. That's right. Akbar, I will see you this Sunday.
This Sunday, God willing. And again, I'm inviting everybody, please join us. I'll be back in St. Louis the first time since I've been on this road. I've been back and forth for 1 day or 2 days. But this is the end of the trip, and let's make it a good ending for Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Absolutely.
As he works towards October the 15th.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you. Listen, folks, we've got one more hour left. And, of course, you know what's coming at you. Of course, Healthy Futures. Stay with us.
If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I'm hearing revolution from the air, from the brothers.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. They died seeking shelter from Hurricane Rita. A bus carrying storm evacuees from the Houston area burst into flames on I-45 southeast of Dallas. This woman saw it.
It was body bag.
There are reports as many as 24 people died. The bus was carrying mostly elderly evacuees. ABC's Lance Leguez is at the scene.
We've got a bus here that has been burned all the way down to the steel frame. The skin is gone, the windows are gone, the seat backs are gone. It's a shell of what it used to be. What authorities are telling us is that apparently a mechanical problem started this fire, something with the brakes. That fire then spread to the bus and then spread to some oxygen tanks that were on board with the people on board the bus. Those oxygen tanks were a secondary cause of this tragedy. They begin to explode under the fire and intense heat.
Some street flooding is already being reported in Galveston. High surf pushing water up through runoff drains, and it's just getting started. More from ABC's Dean Reynolds in New Orleans.
All along the Louisiana coast, hundreds of thousands of residents are fleeing Rita. In the west, the town of Lake Charles lies right in the path of the hurricane. And there is talk of a possible 20-foot storm surge.
Lessons learned from the last storm. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more on that from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
One official here in Calcasieu Parish says it's clear to him the Louisiana governor's office is trying to make up for missteps during Hurricane Katrina. He called it political mending. The governor flew here ahead of the storm, and the lieutenant governor stayed awake here all night long, helping local officials arrange ambulances and military aircraft for evacuations.
President Bush is due in Texas later today to check on storm preparations. He'll visit San Antonio, then head to U.S. Northern Command headquarters in Colorado, which oversees Homeland Defense. That's where he'll watch Rita head for land. This is ABC News.
When Jessica's mom bought the newly designed Maytag Neptune, the largest capacity front load washer, Jessica was the first to notice.
My mom has a lot more free time these days. She used to make only a couple of my soccer games, but now she comes to every single one, even the away games, and for pizza afterward. My friends think she's pretty cool, but my boyfriend is still on the fence.
Is your mom going to sit next to us during the whole movie?
Next month, my mom's chaperoning my senior prom. I can't wait.
The less laundry you have to do, the more living you can do. Thanks to the Maytag Neptune high-efficiency washer, which has the largest front-load capacity available, you can do more loads in less time. It even fits a king-size comforter, and it's tough on stains, yet protects your clothes, too. There's less laundry, more life with Maytag. Depend on us. Now get a $100 gift card when you buy a Maytag Neptune washer and dryer. Offer ends 10/16/05. See Maytag.com for details.
You probably know this ribbit. He made it to number one on the UK singles chart, but that crazy frog and his annoying ringtone have been banished from TV ads here in the UK until after the 9 o'clock watershed. There have been hundreds of complaints against the offending blue bug-eyed amphibian, full throttle bring-ding-ding, but it was parents who led the way by complaining the ads breached advertising standards by appealing to kids without making clear the cost of the product being sold. The court agreed, turning the frog into late-night history. Linda Alvin, ABC News, London.
Having lunch in Pompano Beach, Florida today? Probably not at Adam's Sub Shop. Adam Siegel has been turning away customers. He, his family, and friends are making a mountain of sandwiches to go. The food's being shipped to hurricane evacuees in San Antonio. 40,000 pounds of cold cuts, more than 200 pounds of cheese, hundreds of cases of condiments. Siegel says he's just a snapshot in a much bigger picture. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, St. Louis public school officials say everything is back to normal at Bashan High School. The school went into temporary lockdown mode yesterday after one student reported seeing another student with a gun. During the lockdown, all lockers were searched, the weapon was located, and a student was taken into police custody. No one was injured. Drivers who travel on Interstate 44 in Eureka are being warned to use caution in that area. The Missouri Department of Transportation's quick response team has come up with new safety measures for the stretch of road near Six Flags. Tom Miller, a spokesperson for MoDOT, says the number of crashes can be reduced by drivers simply paying attention.
The main contributing circumstances for crashes on I-44 through all of our study is inattention, driving too fast for conditions, driving too close, and improper lane usage.
In addition to more law enforcement in the area, MoDOT will address the issue of traffic flow in the area by making sure people know how to properly use the exit and entrance ramps. MoDOT's quick action team was formed in July after a family of five was killed in a fiery accident in the area. Former U.S. Supreme Court nominee Judge Robert Bork is making some predictions about the future of the High Court. Bork says he doesn't think Judge John Roberts will be more conservative than former Chief Justice Rehnquist, who recently passed away. The Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday voted 13-5 to recommend the confirmation of Roberts as the next Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. Roberts' nomination now moves to the full Senate, where a vote is expected late next week. The Blues play their second preseason game tonight at 7:30 against the Blackhawks in Chicago. The Note lost their opener Wednesday night at home to the Predators by a score of 4-3. The Blues will take on Nashville again tomorrow evening in Kansas City. Yesterday, the team recalled defensemen Doug Lynch and Dennis Weidman from its AHL affiliate, the Peoria Rivermen. The regular season opener is scheduled for October 5th in Detroit. Finally this hour, gas prices continue to decline as the energy industry recovers from Hurricane Katrina. But with powerful Hurricane Rita approaching the Gulf Coast, that trend could quickly change. The latest Metro Source Price at the Pump survey shows gas prices have fallen to a national average of $2.79 a gallon. That's a drop of 15 cents from the week before. Premium unleaded prices also dropped 15 cents over the past week to an average of $2.98 a gallon. For the second week in a row, the survey shows that New York City has the nation's most expensive gasoline. A gallon of regular in the Big Apple costs an average of $3.30. Philadelphia had the nation's second highest price of gas among surveyed cities at $3.26 a gallon. The cheapest gas is in the Midwest. Oklahoma City had the least expensive gas at an average of $2.42 a gallon. Dayton, Ohio was in second place for the nation's cheapest gas with prices of $2.46 a gallon. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Fazoli's. Stop by Fazoli's and try a baguette. Delicious new oven-baked sandwiches served on ciabatta bread and served wrapped, perfect for on-the-go. Better get a baguette only at Fazoli's. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ride Finders. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed through traffic for the month-end maintenance work, and that will be all the way through the end of this month. Westbound 70 and 94, there's construction. The left lane is closed this hour. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway, is closed due to construction. That exit will be opened later. You can use the 11th Street exit to get around. Westbound 44 at Viaduct and Pacific, all roadways are reopened after construction has been picked up and traffic is easing by. Northbound 55 between Lindbergh and 44, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Merrimack River Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way into Blanchett Bridge, no problems there. Northbound 270 at 44, look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into New Florissant, nothing to report. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way to 55, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 from 270 to 170 is flowing freely. Westbound 40 at Hanley, that traffic is easing. Westbound 70 at Broadway and Goodfellow, look for construction having one lane closed. Eastbound 40 between Boyle and Grand, look for road construction there. Left lane is closed. Eastbound 70 between Bermuda and Goodfellow, you've got road construction there as well. Right lane's closed. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing looks good. And westbound Poplar Street ramp onto westbound 70. One lane is closed for bridge maintenance. Otherwise, traffic looks pretty good in your 9 o'clock hour. There is a report of a gas leak on a construction site at Oakland and Macklin, so expect some restrictions there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ride Finders. Pumped up by gas prices, pump money back in your pocket by carpooling using Ride Finders' free ride matching service. Call Ride Finders at 800-VIP-RIDE. That's 1-800-VIP-RIDE. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. For today, not quite as warm, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers with a high around 80 this evening, mostly cloudy in the evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight. Another chance for showers and thunderstorms, the high in the upper 60s, or the low in the upper 60s. For Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, another chance for showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under overcast conditions, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73 and overcast skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call at Healthy Futures is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this go? It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Well, well, well.
news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Boy, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about. It looks like today that we are not going to be doing our healthy futures, but that's okay. We'll be doing it next week, so feel free to give us a call at 454-0400 at 1-877-920-WGNU, and also email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I want to talk about whether or not there was an intentional breaking of the levees. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, is there someone responsible for what happened in New Orleans with regard to the levees? Is there a person to point whose direction we need to be pointing a finger? Because there are plenty of people that are talking about it right now. There are plenty of people that have also seen some of the same things that we have seen. And to add a little bit of spookiness to the discussion about the levees, and I want to get to some of the specifics of the levee discussion in just one second. I just want to add a bit of spooky stuff. You ever heard of FEMA concentration camps? You ever heard of FEMA concentration camps? There are over 800 prison camps in the United States. All of them are fully operational, and all of them are ready to receive prisoners. They are all staffed and even surrounded by full-time guards. But they are all empty. And these camps, what are they empty waiting for? Well, apparently waiting for you. Apparently waiting for you. These are camps to be operated by FEMA should martial law need to be implemented in the United States, and all it would take is a presidential signature on a proclamation and the Attorney General's signature on a warrant on to which a list of all names would be attached. You've heard about this. This was back during Ashcroft's time. And I bring this story up for those of you that know about it. I bring it up for a reason, and for those of you that don't know about it, I bring it up for another reason. I just wonder if this is something we heard a lot of talk about martial law being implemented in Louisiana, and people thought about martial law from the perspective of, oh goodness gracious, we need to get, you know, deal with these looters, blah blah blah, with the looters. But you need to understand the full ramifications of what a martial law declaration entails. Executive Order 10990 would allow the government to take over all modes of transportation, control of all highways and seaports. Executive Order 10995 allows the government to seize and control communications media. Executive Order 10997 allows the government to take over electrical, gas, petroleum, fuels, and minerals. 10998 allows the government to seize all means of transportation, including personal cars, trucks, or vehicles of any kind, to total control over highways, seaways, and waterways. Executive Order 10999 allows the government to take over all food resources and all farms. And it goes on, through these executive orders through FEMA, the government would be allowed to mobilize citizens into work brigades under government supervision. Would allow the government to take over all health, education, and welfare functions. Allows the government to take over the airports and aircrafts. Allows the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate communities, build new housing with public funds, designate areas to be abandoned, establish new locations for populations. These are some of the things that the government can do as a result of martial law. You want to know where some of these camps are? There's one right here in Missouri. There's one right here. There are many in Illinois. And there's one in Missouri. Have you heard of Richards Gebhar Air Force Base? Located in Grandview near Kansas City. It's a very large internment facility and has been built on the base. And all base personnel are restricted from coming near it. Fort Leonard Wood, situated in the middle of Mark Twain's National Forest, has also been cited as a place. In fact, it's been known for some UN training, and it's home to the U.S. Army's Urban Warfare Training School, STEM Village, Warsaw. It's unconfirmed reports, but it is said that it's a large concentration camp facility. I don't mean to scare you, but you sure need to be awake. These are troubling times that we live in. When the mayor of a city is talking about, he's concerned that the CIA might be after him. The mayor of the city of New Orleans is talking about the 17th Street canal levee breached on purpose. What are some of the factors that give rise to people saying that? Check it out. A private ham radio network. This is a network that deployed throughout the hurricane, throughout the hurricane ravaged region, reported that airwaves were being jammed making it impossible to communicate emergency information. Churches, hospitals, and other, and remember this, I mean, this, you know, this you have in your mental Rolodex. Churches, hospitals, and other essential community groups reported that the first thing that the U.S. military did, remember, this wasn't our National Guard, state-owned or state-controlled, citizens that live right there, people that in your National Guard are have mamas and daddies and granddads and grandmamas and aunts and uncles somewhere in that state, because that's where they live. So they have a vested interest. No, this was the military that was brought in. And the first thing that the military did was cut the telephone lines, confiscate communication devices. They all witnessed news reports, heard statements by flood victims. Every one of you have heard this about the behavior of the U.S. military. People of African descent talked about military vehicles that didn't stop to assist them but just drove right by. One news report showed military personnel playing cards inside a barrack while citizens were dying of thirst and hunger. Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to ask the question, do we know who these camps are for, particularly for the terrorists or for
these are for us.
Pardon me?
Us.
Hello?
Us.
Oh, for us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. All right, thank you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. That's what the reports are saying. Could they have Guantanamo Bay for so called terrorists? They have enough terrorists in the United States to put them. I mean, they can call you a terrorist now and put you in one. Theoretically. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Ray, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
All right, I got two points, but they are on the same line. So did I miss the evidence about the levee being blown up?
Haven't done that yet.
Okay,
just working myself up to it.
Did you hear Farrakhan's comments? Because I didn't hear yours. I caught the last end of that guy that came up when y'all was addressing his alleged statements about the... Did you hear his comments or read them?
I don't know. Which comments are you referring to?
Well, people have been calling saying that he, and I'm paraphrasing, that he said white folks intentionally blew up the levee so it would kill black people.
Okay.
So I'm saying, even if he believed that, I would think he would have offered some evidence to support that statement if he was going to make that statement in public.
But here's the thing. You're hearing what other people are saying that he said.
Right, their interpretation.
Their interpretation. So if people are saying that as a criticism, should it be a surprise to you that they're not giving what he said?
Exactly.
Minister Farrakhan doesn't just say stuff. There's all. Have you ever been to one of his lectures?
Exactly.
So
something's missing is my point. Somebody talking about they heard the words come out of his mouth.
I believe that they very well could have come out of his mouth, and I know if they did, there was a whole lot of other words that came out afterwards.
Right, or before. I agree with that now. So my point is, I guess I got to get on the internet and look up his speeches.
Well, no, actually, what you
heard a snippet on Fox or O'Reilly or
Hannity. Here's the thing. You live in St. Louis, right?
Right.
Why don't you go listen your own self? He's going to be here Sunday at 6 o'clock at the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th Street. You can listen your own self.
You said 416 North 9th Street.
North 9th Street on Sunday.
Street
on
at
Sunday.
6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, I've been to his speeches. So I guess you got a point that would clear all that up.
There you go.
But this one, and let me say this in close. So it's not totally crazy because Chris Matthews been talking. talking about. He didn't say that they
Well, I
wouldn't
start. I wouldn't start with Chris Matthews as any point of proof. The fact of the matter is, you've lived here long enough in America to know that. You've been here for the last 4 years. You know, if they can say that there are weapons of mass destruction, we have to, and we know where they are, and we're going to get them. And the person that has them are Saddam Hussein, and all of that turns out to be a lie. And thousands of Americans have died as a result of that lie. What?
Nobody held accountable.
Well, no, and not even forget the nobody held accountable piece of it. Why would it be unreasonable then to deduce that the same people that brought you something that killed thousands of people brought you another thing that has killed thousands of people? How unreasonable? I mean, you'd be illogical not to conclude that.
Well, let me just on the Chris Matthews part. He didn't say they blew it up, but he's trying to look into the part of some graft or the people who built it brought in cheap equipment on the black side and the better equipment on the white. So they're going to eventually look into an investigation
on
that.
Whatever.
Right, I hear you.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Don. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah. I just called about 20 minutes ago, and I was talking to one of your lieutenants, and I said that I wanted to get a hurricane victims. I got $100. I'm going to donate more than that, but I'm going to give you $100, them $100, and I'm going to get Governor Ryan. You know, he let some of them doing that DNA, you know, and he let some of them go from prison. They don't like that, you know.
Actually, what he did was he put a moratorium on the state's ability to execute anybody that's on death row.
Yeah.
He commuted their sentences to life without.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So that's what he did. And I have an organization that you can send the money to, the organization of black mayors. They're giving 100% of the funds that they have to some cities that have been totally ignored in the so-called recovery effort after Katrina. So if you keep listening, I'll give that information out of where you can send your money. Okay?
Well, let me say this. Could I call back after you're here and then you give me the number?
Well, actually, are you in front of a radio right now?
No.
Oh, you're not. Okay. Tell you what. Yes, you can do that.
I call you back between 10 and 10:30.
Okay. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up and get to me. Car phone.
Yes, Sister Liz, I just want to know, are they going to simulcast it on one of the radio stations? Because the bosses that I work for won't let me have that day off. And, I really would like to hear that speech.
It's going to be webcast, and we're working on trying to find a radio station to simulcast it on. But as of now, it is simply going to be webcast.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and we're talking about Minister Farrakhan being in town on Sunday. Please come on down. I'm going to be speaking, actually, also. Come on down to the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th Street. It's a wonderful thing, a wonderful opportunity to really just experience a piece of history, to hear what he has to say about Katrina. What you don't know about Katrina, he's been touring this entire nation talking to victims of Katrina, evacuees of Katrina, and what they have personally experienced. You need to come down on Sunday. Doors open at 5:30 at 416 North 9th Street. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. I'll be back. Get to me at 454-0400. Stay with me.
Just to hear you speak makes me argue just to see how much you're in love with me. Be like a queen upon her throne. Was it sweet?
Online hunting is okay as long as you're hunting for conspiracies. Catch decent guy Don Griffin online at WGNU.net.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
If you're single, I'd like you to try something. Find three friends or family members and ask them about eHarmony.com. Chances are, you or they know someone that has fallen in love on eHarmony. You might even know one of the thousands that has been married as a result of being matched on eHarmony.
I had some friends who had experienced it, and so I thought, why not give it a shot?
I had a friend of mine say, why don't you give eHarmony a try?
My younger son said, come on, Mom, just try it. What do you have to lose?
Friends and family can be powerful allies when it comes to helping you find the love of your life. So if you're single and curious about eHarmony, ask a friend about us. Or better yet, log on to eHarmony and see for yourself why eHarmony has become the number one relationship site. Do it today and you'll get your $40 personality profile absolutely free. eHarmony.com.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Learn about animal architects at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles, on Monday, September 26 from 10 to 11 a.m. Explore the many ways animals use their instincts and creativity to take what nature provides and shape it into a home. To sign up, call 314-441-4554. News to naturalists from WGNU.
Millions More Movement, St. Louis Local Organizing Committee invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis.
On October the 14th, 15th, and 16th, these black, Hispanic, Native American, in unity, we'll change it all.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. Everyone's invited to see Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th. This event is free to the public. The Millions More Movement is peace and unity. United we stand. Divided, we don't stand a chance. The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191. Farrakhan Live. You need to be part of the movement. For more information, log on to mmmstlouis.org.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. A couple of bookkeeping matters. I don't want you all to forget that On October 1st, there will be a St. Louis Worldwide Day of Play for Children, and the community is invited to participate, come out and participate, participate in activities like step aerobics, double dutch. It's all about fun, and it's going to be on October 1st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Tandy Recreational Center. That's 4206 West Kennerly Avenue. And then also on October 8th, the Men's Health Coalition, Heart Disease and Stroke, will be discussed at our favorite deli, that's Eternity Deli, at 11 South Euclid. That's from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. That's the Men's Health Coalition, Heart Disease and Stroke, right there at Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. And also another bookkeeping matter, because you know me. My job is to plan your life. You have a anti-war protest to do this weekend. You have Minister Farrakhan to hear at 6 o'clock on Sunday at the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th. Also, we have Jobs with Justice. Their annual meeting is right here in St. Louis all this weekend, and there are going to be some activities going on surrounding that, and we're going to take a couple of minutes here to talk to Erica Smiley. She's with Jobs with Justice. She's the board coordinator, the media coordinator. She's calling us from Washington, D.C. Erica, good morning.
Good morning.
It's going to be a very busy weekend in St. Louis.
Oh, tell me about it.
Talk to us about Jobs with Justice coming here to St. Louis.
Well, we're coming to St. Louis because it's a great town, not just for the conference, but just in general, historically, the union presence here and the collaboration between community and labor organizations. Just incredible, and so we're really excited to be here to have our annual meeting. We got a thousand plus folks from all over the country coming in to kind of share strategies and ideas around issues, varying from organizing wireless customer service folks, wireless cell phone customer service folks, all the way to Walmart to student labor organizing. We're just looking forward to an incredible weekend.
And, Ken, how will people find out about this? Can people participate in some of your activities? What's the connection with those of us that are not going to be at the actual meeting itself?
Oh, there are so many different ways that folks can participate who may or may not be registered for the conference. Tonight, for example, we've got a local action where all of our conference participants, plus folks from surrounding areas with AFSCME and the Bell Fountain Parents Association, are doing a rally at the Bell Fountain City Hall to support the saving the Bell Fountain Rehabilitation Center from closing and stopping the forced moving of patients. And then tomorrow night we've got a National Workers' Rights Board hearing where workers from Walmart and other affected grocers and suppliers will testify about Walmart's injustice on their community and on their job. And that's open to the public as well. And that's at the Convention Center. And then Sunday, Paul Booth of AFSCME is leading our contingent, labor contingent, all the way to the ARC for the anti-war demonstrations.
Very good.
We're incredibly excited to support a lot of the local activity going on already in St. Louis.
Very good. Very, very good. And everybody got here today?
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone's coming in. A lot of folks came in last night.
Okay.
And the rest of our folks we expect in by 4 o'clock at the absolute latest for that rally.
Very good. And again, give the rally time and place again.
Absolutely. It's 4 o'clock Central Time at the Bell Fountain City Hall, which I believe is 9565 Bell Fountain Road. And we'll be there pretty early, but it starts, kicks off at 4. We've got Reverend James Orange speaking, along with a lot of parents and patients and workers from the center. So it's proven to be exciting, regardless of how the weather looks.
Very good. I want to thank you very much for joining us.
No, thanks so much, Liz, for having us.
My pleasure. Take care and good luck.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. Let me get to some of you all that have been patiently waiting on the line. 454-0400 is the phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU, and revolution@lizbrown.com. William, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I was been thinking of. I wasn't listening to the show, honestly, but I had a burden for you, and I hope things are going well for you. And I'll be keeping you in my prayers.
Well, thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call, Keith.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I have a legal problem that I need to discuss with you off the air.
Okay.
I need some advice on
lawyer and things.
Okay, you can call me off the air.
What number?
I'll put you on hold and let you get that information. 454-0400 is my phone number. Marty, good morning.
Yeah, Liz, I was listening to what you were saying about the camps and everything, and I know I had my basic up there in Fort Leonard Wood, and it's very possible that, you know, because they were training people up there for riot control, the National Guard for those camps and things that exist up there, because Fort Leonard Wood is pretty huge. And if you look at, like, around the United States, there's a lot of base closings, and those bases can house a lot of prisoners and things like that. And I think one of the main weapons of the devil, so to speak, is believing that he doesn't exist. And as long as people keep going along, you know, not opening their minds up and looking at the way things are going, these things can take place before people can even have a chance to respond to them.
Thanks for your call and your observation.
You're welcome.
454-0400 is my phone number. Gary, good morning.
Yes, I was just wondering what you thought, Liz, of Pat Leahy voting for Mr. Roberts yesterday.
I sent Pat Leahy an email, and I sent him an email, and inside of the email, in fact, I should have it in front of me, but I don't. I told him in the email that I felt that he was a coward. Mm-hmm. I told him in the email that I felt that George W. Bush does not care about black people, and neither do you. I told him in the email that I also believe that all he did was talk smack in front of the cameras and then capitulate. I said, you are either a Republican or an advocate of Republican issues, and either way, that makes you a coward and no good to anybody else. And then I also said within this email that I sent to Senator Patrick Leahy, I also said that that's a reason why people of African descent people of African descent are not going to go Republican. What's going to happen is that they're going to stop involving themselves in the political process. They're going to be disinterested and disconnected because of hypocritical, nonsensical, appalling acts like your act of voting for John Roberts.
Liz, what if he just simply thought that the man would uphold the Constitution?
Uh-huh.
How could he not vote for him?
And because if anybody that read the works of John Roberts knows, can reasonably conclude, and absolutely conclude after he didn't answer a lot of the questions that people ask him, you can conclude that the most that you could say is, I don't know anything about this person, and how can I, because I have the responsibility to advise on this and to represent my community, the best that I could say is, I don't know anything about this person, so how can I support him? Other than partisanship, other than a Republican saying, this is our Republican guy and we're supporting him because he's a Republican, a Democrat at best could say, I don't know anything about this man. The White House has kept information about this man from me. I can't in good conscience say yes because I don't know.
But he knew.
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
He capitulated. He capitulated, and that's what my email to him said. And guess what? Haven't heard anything back from him. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're going to take a break. We have much to talk about, much, much, much to talk about. You're a Democrat. You're not a Republican. Vote like a Democrat. 454-0400 is my phone number. Stay with me.
That I might not last today. And then you call me and it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Have you been wondering what Susan Smith Harmon has been up to lately? Well, wonder no more. The airwaves were just a little too irresistible for her to stay away for long. Now you can catch Susan on the WGNU airwaves on Friday mornings from 10 to noon. Spend your Fridays with Susan Smith Harmon from 10 a.m. to noon here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
And tune in today as Susan will have magazine mogul, flat tax advocate himself, Steve Forbes, on her show.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Lagos. Another oil pipeline pumping station in the Niger Delta area of Nigeria has been shut down by armed militants. The pumping station is operated by the Chevron Oil Company.
members of the Niger Delta People's Volunteer Force have vowed to shut down all the region's oil exports if its leader, Alhaji Muhadi Dukubu Asari, is not released from custody after he was arrested for making treasonous comments in a Nigerian newspaper. He went before a judge yesterday and was ordered to be held for two more weeks before any formal charges are brought against him. Last year, he had threatened to act against foreign oil companies that helped increase the price of crude to $50 a barrel. Nigeria has sent federal troops to the Delta region in an effort to keep the oil flowing. The indigenous people of the region, called the Ijaw, live in severe poverty and say the foreign companies have ruined the environment there and are not doing enough to help the local economy improve either. Nigeria is the largest oil producer in Africa and the eighth largest in the world. And Dateline Washington. The foreign minister of Saudi Arabia says his government had warned President Bush about the dangers that would be created by trying to occupy Iraq. Prince Saud al-Faisal went on to say that he does not think a new constitution or the elections will be the solution to that country's problems. He said that what the U.S. is trying to do in Iraq will result in dividing the country into three separate parts operated by the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shiites, and that will not bring any semblance of national unity. Saud also added that his kingdom is still offering to Israel to have peace with all Arab countries if it gives up the land that the Arabs lost in the 1967 war. With regards to oil, Saud stated the oil industry does not really suffer from a lack of product. He said there's no good reason why prices could not come down about $20 a barrel. But he did say the United States has been reluctant to build any new refineries for some reason, and he even added that Saudi Arabia had offered to help construct one, but got no response from American officials. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps. Right. Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I sucked a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Single game tickets on sale now at the box office, Ticketmaster outlets, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
More Movement, St. Louis Local Organizing Committee invites you to see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live Sunday, September 25th at the Roberts Orpheum Theater, 416 North 9th Street. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. It's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan live in St. Louis
on October the 14th, 15th, and 16th. He's Black, Hispanic, Native American. In unity, we'll change it all.
It's the commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. Everyone's invited to see Farrakhan Live, Sunday, September 25th. This event is free to the public. The Millions More Movement is peace and unity. United we stand. Divided, we don't stand a chance. The Millions More Movement is October 15th in Washington, D.C. For more information and to register for the march, call 361-9191 or toll free 866-361-9191. It's Farrakhan Live.
You need to be part of the movement.
For
more information, log on to mmmstlouis.org.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else like me.
You won't find no one like me. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Woo, Rita has an attitude. Rita is coming, and she is... It appears she's taken no prisoners. It's breathtaking to see her on Doppler. It is breathtaking. And right now we're getting a report that New Orleans may see 5 inches of rain. 5 inches of rain so far. 454. This is so far. And that storm hasn't even hit. The storm hasn't even hit. They've gotten 5 inches of rain so far. Average wind speed in New Orleans, 50 miles an hour. You imagine that? You imagine 50 miles an hour. Oh, good Lord. Need to send some. We'll send some prayers out. Oh, Lord. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz Brown. How are you?
Irene J. Smith, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, Liz. Yeah. I'm good. I know there's been a lot of discussion about eminent domain abuse in the papers. But one of the things that has not received a degree of publicity that I believe that it should is the attempt by the Land Reutilization Authority, LCRA, Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority, to take the historical Baptist Educational Center, which is located on Grand and Martin Luther King. That has been something that has been in our community for years. In fact, Malcolm X spoke there. Baptists, churches from all over this country would convene there. It was the one place that all Baptists in the metropolitan St. Louis area had an opportunity to come, to have education, to have concerts. And again, as I indicated, Brother Minister Malcolm X had spoken there during his lifetime as well.
So it's a historical spot.
It is a historical spot in the African American community. However, and they had a group of individuals who have been involved with the church since they were children, under the leadership of Leora Daniels, has worked to maintain that site as a Baptist educational center, but more than that, to develop it in other aspects as well and to have it open for use for the community. Well, there is being an attempt to take that building and to use it for commercial development under eminent domain, and there will be a hearing
so
on
it. So take and destroy that building?
Destroy.
To
tear it down. It is a beautiful building. The hearing will be next, Friday after next, October the 7th at 9 a.m. in Judge Lisa Amberg's courtroom on the 6th floor in the Civil Courts building. And we're asking all who have the time to please come out and show your support, because this is a historical building.
And it's two things, Irene. It's a historical building. It's worthy of preservation. You can't rebuild history. History is what it is. And secondly, this is, please don't think that this is NIMBY. Not in my, you know, it's not going to happen in my backyard. Yes, it is. This is an issue of eminent domain.
Yes, it is. And we're just asking for people to come out. And, of course, we're asking for prayer, because prayer does change things. But God also empowered us to go to work, and we have to go to work on this issue, and we're asking the entire St. Louis community to come out and to support the Baptist Educational Center.
But also, and again, I want to underscore this other piece of it, though, Irene, because we have to connect this to it as well, that this is another attempt at eminent domain.
Eminent domain abuse.
Absolutely. And you should be able to live in your community and know that everything historical will be protected and not just handed over to somebody to make some money off the land. There's a no out there. You can't have everything that you want.
You can't have everything. And it's possible, you know, to do the same thing. And that people who have control of buildings, the owners of the building, ought to have the same opportunities that you're attempting to hand the building over to someone else.
There
to
you
do.
Go.
And we need to say no to the land grant, redevelopment authority, and we say no, this is our history, this is our building, you cannot take this building. So again, we're asking people to come out, mark your calendars, 2 weeks in advance, we're giving you, sisters and brothers, on October the 7th at 9 a.m., please come out and support our history. Something in our community.
And say no to
a beautiful building.
And say no to eminent domain.
And so no, say no to eminent domain abuse.
That's right.
Thank you so very much, Liz.
Thank you, Irene J. Smith.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You know what? I think we're just going to start every Monday with get your calendars out. And I'm no longer trying to plan your weekend. I'm trying to plan your entire life. So get your calendars out on Monday, and we'll just start filling it up because there's just stuff out there. The city of St. Louis is saying no to eminent domain. They said no to Tom Bauer. The city of St. Louis is saying no to eminent domain. And anybody that is an American out there knows that this is not right. And for people that live in the particular community, you have a special vested interest in this because it's your history across the street from you. And we all have a vested interest in this because if it happens in one community, it's going to happen in your community. This is how you say no. You don't just talk on the radio. It's a wonderful thing. But you got to also be active. And you also have to participate. And we're going to keep you apprised of all of this as it comes towards us. But keep that date in mind. Whether it's October 7th, Friday, be there at 9 o'clock. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Right now, Katrina's death toll is 841. But remember, they're not counting people. It's the same type of military count that they used that they're using in Iraq. You didn't die in the war if you died in the helicopter after you left Baghdad. If you died in the hospital outside of the war ground, you didn't die as a result of the war. They're doing the same crazy count in New Orleans. Y'all need to think about stuff over the weekend. Come on down to the Roberts Theater at 416 North 9th Street on Sunday. Doors open at 5:30. Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking as well. You need to come on down. There's much to say, much to hear, much to know, much to learn, much to do. Until Monday, stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News, I'm Liz White. Waist deep and rising fast, dozens of blocks in New Orleans are now underwater, and Hurricane Rita has yet to hit with full force. It's reportedly pouring over a patched levee in a waterfall at least 30 feet wide. A chain reaction tragedy, a bus carrying elderly evacuees away